about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is Bob Banks, marketing manager, radio and Victrola division of RCA Victor.
What you're going to hear about today is nothing short of a miracle. It's dramatically new. It's an RCA Victor exclusive, made possible only through years of research, inventions, and innovations. Living stereo.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
So you say it's not a shakeup, but you guys are down. And it makes
Says
sense
who?
That there would...
Says
polls.
Who?
Most of them. All of them?
Says who?
Polls. I just told you, I answered your question.
Okay. Which polls?
All of them.
Okay.
And now...
With all due respect, you're an idiot.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
One of the greatest moments in presidential campaign history?
That happened. That was real.
That was so fun, you guys.
So good.
Hey, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time it's a Thursday show for the 18th, I want to say, of August. I'm never quite sure.
On your computer, it has a little calendar.
Or your phone.
You know what? I don't have the date up in the corner of my computer, just the time. I guess I could bring my phone up. See, the problem is I have too many windows of other things open and nothing that has a date on it. So
well,
I
close
apologize.
Your porn, put up a calendar.
Hey, it's my time.
Okay.
All right. So here's the thing yesterday. So that piece of tape that we all enjoyed so much yesterday happened on CNN. Michael Cohen is his name. He is a special counsel for Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a New York City businessman who is running for president. And apparently, and I guess I missed this over the summer, apparently he got the Republican nomination. So he's going to be on the ballot in November to be president. So it's not been going very well for him for the past few weeks. And Michael Cohen was on to defend Mr. Trump. And the newscaster, a lady I'm not familiar with, named Brianna Keller.
I believe.
Yeah. All right. So she's on and she points out that he is down in the polls. And again, his reaction is, how would you describe, I mean, is it the kind of thing that are you trying a Jedi mind trick?
I think he was just trying to catch her off guard and she'd kind of move on with it.
Mm-hmm.
But so, really, he was a child. He was a child.
It was like a four-year-old asking why she has to go to bed.
Right.
Right? Like, who are you to tell me that I have to go to bed, Mommy? It was that kind of thing. I need to hear it again. I'm sorry.
So you say it's not a shakeup, but you guys are down. And it makes
Says
sense
who?
That there would...
Now, is it... I mean... He's special counsel to Donald Trump. He is aware of the polls.
Yeah.
And they are widely reported. They're not a secret. It's not like they were breaking news to him that, hey, guess what? We know something you don't. The Hillary Clinton is leading in every single poll.
Yeah.
So he knew it, right?
Absolutely.
So when he says who, like you said, is he just trying to catch her off guard and disrupt her because he doesn't think she'll have the names of the polls at her fingertips?
He thinks she's just going to blow past it and then go on with the next question. He didn't think she would stop and be like, wait, what? You idiot? Polls.
The look on her face, by the way. And look, I know how – from doing this job, and you're with me, Allie, you know how awkward dead air can be sometimes.
Sure.
I give her all the credit in the world for just sitting on it.
Absolutely. Give him a moment to swim around in what he just did. And the fact that he then repeated it was perfect. Perfect.
Says who?
Most of them. All of them?
Here's a long silence.
Says who?
Polls. I just told you I answered your question.
Okay. Which polls?
All of them.
Okay.
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 Okay. So then they move on. Now, in Ms. Keller's defense, she could have said The Economist, UPI, NBC News, Rasmussen, Reuters, Bloomberg, ABC News, The Washington Post, Fox News, and CNN. She could have said that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess she didn't have that information at her fingertips. Okay. So afterwards, Mr. Cohen is interviewed. And he was bragging about unraveling Brianna Keller on TV. Claimed that he controlled the interview.
Oh, jeez.
He also says that when they say that Donald Trump has a 1% favorability amongst the African-American community, I know from my own interactions that that number is absolutely and unequivocally inaccurate.
Yeah, I thought it was high, too.
I speak on a weekly basis to more than 100 African-American evangelical preachers who are all committed to ensuring Donald Trump becomes the next president of the United States. Okay, they may be the only 100 brothers and sisters who are voting for Donald Trump. I have bad news for you, Mr. Cohen. It's hard to find a black person who's going to vote for Donald Trump, but he claims that that's why the polls are wrong. Here's my favorite part. So he brags about unraveling the CNN anchor. He says he controlled the interview. And I didn't. In his defense, I didn't see the rest of the interview. I didn't either. Is it possible he did well the rest of it?
I guess it is. Sure.
It is. He says, I was shocked at the length of the silence as she stumbled to think of an answer. When she did come up with an answer, meaning, I assume, all of them, it was so generic it could have applied to anything. So this reporter for Gawker asked the anchor, Miss Keller, for an interview, and she said, just embed the video.
Right.
That was her response.
The only thing I could think in his defense, which he needs none, is there was a little bit of talking over each other.
Right.
And when you have an IFB in, you can't hear well to begin with. So mm-hmm. maybe when she said polls the first time,
right,
he missed it. That's the only thing I could think in his brain why he would think, ah, gotcha.
That is very possible. Yeah, that's very possible because they definitely did speak on top of one another. All right. Also yesterday, and again, this really doesn't have anything to do with Mr. Trump himself. This has to do with the people who are on TV speaking about him. And this is Ben Shapiro, who used to work for Breitbart, which is a conservative news organization. And this exchange also surprised the same anchor on TV yesterday.
I think Donald Trump's a turd tornado, but I also understand that he has no capacity whatsoever to control himself.
A what tornado?
A turd tornado.
What is that?
What?
Well, it's like a sharknado, except with poop.
Okay. All right. That's not quite what I expected, but okay.
No!
Yes.
Wait, how does she not know what a turd tornado was?
It is self-explanatory.
Come on!
I think. So Brianna Keller must have gone home and said to her husband or wife or whoever, said, you're not going to believe the day I had on TV today.
She poured herself the biggest glass of wine, was just like, I earned it.
I mean, how do you have both of those interviews happen on the same day? And Chip, I swear to God, if you're not one day in a band called Turd Tornado.
Oh, I wrote it down, man.
Then you are doing it wrong, my friend. So that's awesome. All right, let's find out what's on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Says who?
Well, it's me. I am looking at the schedule. It is apparently the 18th, by the way. That is accurate. I'm happy to hear about that. Poop is exploding. It's that hot through parts of the country where literally manure on the street is exploding.
Like a turd tornado.
Like a turd tornado. Yeah. Excellent. Well done, Allie.
What?
Also,
two seconds ago.
It was a good maybe 40 seconds, Chip.
Says who?
Well, me.
Also, we're going to have a sheriff on the program today. His name is Jamie Noel. Do you get a chance to watch any of this 60 Days In, Ellie?
I didn't.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Fascinating. Basically, what they're trying to do is figure out why things are so bad in prison and why there is so much violence,
mm-hmm.
How the drugs are getting in, how the gangs align themselves. So they need snitches is what they need. They need people on the inside to report back to law enforcement. They have ordinary American citizens who volunteer to pretend to be prisoners. No one in the jail, outside of maybe one or two people in law enforcement, know that they're not in there for a crime. They're in there to be eyes and ears for the police.
Oh, God.
So they are treated exactly like an inmate.
And how much are they getting paid?
It is terrifying. You know what? That's a great question. I didn't see that addressed
Millions?
In the first episode. I don't think
Billions.
So. Billions. I don't think so.
Gazillions?
I think they're doing it. They do it for all sorts of various reasons that we'll talk about when we get the sheriff on. But can you imagine wanting to go to a prison for 2 months for research?
No!
Well, that's a show. It's happening, and we'll talk about it on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Gold's Gym is in trouble. They have tweeted something that some think may be disrespectful to people and their body types.
Hmm.
Some say that.
Yeah. Everyone says that.
Really?
Yeah.
Says who?
Says me.
Okay. Jim Rome, so much in sports to talk about. Is Ryan Lochte making the whole thing up?
I can't with him. I don't even believe he's a swimmer at this point. I truly don't know what's happening.
But why would you? Okay, we're going to have to save it because we're going to run out of time here. But why would you? No, never mind.
No.
Not now. All right. Also,
why?
I know, right? Also, an unbelievable story of how a couple met and married. He found her phone number scrawled on a bathroom wall. That must be one of the most unusual ways anyone has ever met their spouse. That's for sure. So we'll talk about that on today's program and what that means for you. Dr. Drew on the program talking about whether Hillary Clinton will even still be alive to be on the ballot in November. I hear that every night she's putting herself in some sort of a hyperbolic oxygen chamber just to have enough power to stand the next day. That's what I hear.
I hear she has a stool handler.
I hear that as well. Also, why not join us for Breakfast with Sting? That is coming up fast on Wednesday, August 31st. One of the biggest and most respected and most popular musical artists in the world. Sting is going to be here at K-Rock and the Red Bull Sound Space. We'll be interviewing him. You will be helping us. And we'll all be enjoying some Sting music, including the world premiere of a song that he'll be performing live. How often do you hear a brand new song from an artist for the first time ever, and it's being done live right in front of your face?
Like 5-6 times in my life, but okay. A lot of people never.
You're luckier than most, then. So we're going to get you in on that. That'll be next hour. Plus, Ralph's here. He's got the Showbiz Beat coming up right after this on K-Rock. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ here on a Thursday morning. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hi.
What's going on, man?
Things.
Good things, bad things.
All things.
All right. Let's hear about it.
Can't have the good without the bad. You can't have the yin without the yang.
I've heard that.
Can't have the up without the down. I'm not going to keep going.
You sure?
Has Justin Bieber finally moved on from Selena Gomez?
Says who?
Will their Ross, Rachel, on again, off again, hate, love, dynamic finally come to an end? Well, it looks so because Bieber refused to respond to Selena Gomez when she reached out after their Instagram showdown last Monday. She was trying to make nice and get in touch with him, and no, Justin Bieber said, friends report that Bieber said she is two-faced and he is, wait for it, very over her.
Oh.
It's good news for Sophia Richie, who gets a little richier every time we talk.
Heard that.
Meanwhile, shenanigans are going on over at Amy Schumer's TV show, Inside Amy Schumer. Looks like it's over. Earlier this week, one of Amy's writers, Kurt Metzger, stirred things up by sending out a series of what he claims to be comical tweets where he mocked and ridiculed women who report sexual assault. Oh, there's a group of people ripe for parody.
Jeez.
Yeah, this position was immediately taken to task by women as well as other comics. Many of them, including Amy, demanding to know why she continued to employ him. He is credited as a writer on more than 30 of her episodes of Inside Amy Schumer. She responded by saying that those are his words, not mine, and he is not a writer on my show. Following up that comment with, he isn't a writer for my show because we aren't making the show anymore. There are no writers for it. So it looks like she may be moving on from television because of her busy movie career, and that show will not be back.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. She certainly has a lot of other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like Key and Peele and lots of other people who make shows, there comes a point where they go, why am I still doing a dumb TV show?
Not dumb. Shows
well, when
dumb.
I get, she's got a huge stand-up career.
Shows
she's
are
got,
quite good. People no, enjoyed
no.
them.
I like her show very much.
You
but
said
I'm just
called
saying,
it dumb. You said I'm, it was dumb.
Right, but what I'm saying is, compared to the other things she's doing, maybe she's you know lost the interest in working that hard for a TV show. That's all.
Says who?
Well, I'm just reading into what Amy Schumer
says. Says who?
That's a good point. You got me there.
And you know the Donner Party, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Story. Love them.
If you're not familiar,
I wish, how do you love them?
Because it's death and twisted weirdness.
But cannibalism.
It's Bean. Oh. You know, there's bodies strewn
right?
all over Bean's all right. property.
Okay.
You throw a nickel, you're going to hit a shallow grave wherever Bean lives.
Oh, God.
And you're going to have skeletal remains.
Yeah.
I so wish Kevin was here today so I could say, Kevin, of course, the Donner Party was.
Oh, I missed that so much.
Right? Isn't that right? The best?
The look on his face like that.
Can they say, because one of the reindeer, Santa's reindeer, had a party?
I think they won a science award.
Yeah. But for those who don't know, the Donner Party was a wagon train to California back in 1846. And they traveled perhaps not at the best time of the year to make that trip. While they were trying to cross the Sierra Mountains, they were trapped in deep snow for several months. And in order to survive, they, you know, had to eat each other.
Well,
you know how it is.
What are you going to do?
Sometimes you have to eat the dead, right?
Well, no.
I know that.
Yes, Allie, you have to eat the dead.
No.
I know that that was an unpopular decision for many people. But either they all die or some of them die. That was
you
the decision.
If you are left in a position where you have to eat your family member or die, I'm choosing sweet, sweet death.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
you
I am.
You think you are, but you're not.
Really?
Yes.
You're like, Dad, give me that calf. No.
Because, when you get down to it and you're staring death in the face and there's a way that you possibly can live, it kicks in. Your instinct, your struggle to exist kicks in, and you do whatever you're forced to do.
And then every time you eat steak, you're like, oh, tastes like my dad.
That's who's hungry?
Cousin Steve.
I don't like it.
48 members of the original 87 in the party survived and made it to California. So 50% almost. That's not too bad.
Now, why do you bring up the Donner Party? Why are they back in the news?
Because there's a movie being made about this story. Ridley Scott's son, Luke, is reportedly set to direct the film from his own script. It's based on a book called The Hunger. And so this story, once again, will get a fictionalized treatment. But that's going to be a tough movie to watch.
Regardless. It is.
Except for Bean. Say, I'll actually leave and go to a theater for once. Don't want to miss the Donner Party.
Well, I own the Blu-ray of Alive, where the soccer players all ate each other after they crashed in the plane. There's another famous group cannibalism story.
Yeah, it's on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Redford.
Come on.
Can currently be seen in Pete's Dragon. 80 years old today.
80 years old, by the way.
Yes, I believe I just heard someone say that.
80 years old.
Right. Kip just said that, too.
But when I saw him in, Allie? What was...
I think he's 80.
80 years old.
What was the Captain America he was in? The last one?
Captain America and the Winter Soldier?
Yeah. How great does he look?
Looks great.
He's Robert Redford.
But you act surprised. Like, oh, he was ugly in his 20s, but now look at him. For some reason, he looks good.
It's just astonishing how good he looks at 80.
No,
that's all
the good-looking look good.
Even... Okay. I'm just impressed. I would eat him.
Chip, I'm going to need that piece of tape. Thanks so much. Dennis Lear is 59 years old today. Madeline Stowe is 58. Edward Norton turns 47, as does Christian Slater. Malcolm Jamal Warner. Theo.
And also Al Cowlings.
Yeah, 46 years old. Caitlin Olson from Always Sunny in Philadelphia is 41. And Andy Samberg. How much do we love Andy?
All. He's the best.
He's 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chili Peppers on our show? Are you kidding me?
Was
that's
that
outrageous.
Chili Peppers?
That's crazy. Never thought I'd live to see the day. Hey, welcome into a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show. Don't forget to keep on listening for your chance to have your pick of tickets to either Guns N' Roses at Dodger Stadium or Coldplay at the Rose Bowl. We got those. And later this hour, your Breakfast with Sting tickets as well. Allie, I'm glad I'm going to be able to share this audio with you and with the listeners who have not seen the story yet. It's a bike car confrontation that happened in Corona del Mar.
Uh-oh.
There's something called, you know, there are lots of different lanes around town, some of which are bike only, some of which are car only, some of which are what is called sharrow lanes, which is for bikes and cars. And this was one of those. So this bicyclist claims that the SUV cut him off, wanted him out of the lane. He's an unidentified cyclist. He has done an interview, though, where he said a white Ford Escape passed within a foot of me to my left while honking its horn. After passing me, the Ford moved right and applied its brakes to block my way. Because I could not slow down and go to the right of him, I was forced into the number one lane to move around him. As I passed on the left, his window was rolled up and he was flipping me off. After I was in front of him, I moved back into the same position in the number two lane and proceeded northbound on PCH. The same Ford then blew by me on the left, his right-hand mirror touching my left elbow as he passed. This sounds dangerous, by the way, at this point.
Yeah.
He was yelling at me through his window, and now he was saying, F you, mother effer, etc., and I was yelling back at him that he had to obtain a 3-foot distance away from me. So the cyclist pulled over And the driver did as well.
Uh-oh.
He's rolling video, and this is the confrontation of the guy driving the SUV who, right or wrong, believes that the bicyclist was in his lane. And he's talking to the bicyclist who believes that they were sharing a lane. So it's a little bit of a misunderstanding that gets heated and out of control very quickly.
Come on, with me.
Don't hit me.
Huh? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Huh? Put it on tape? Surfer against a... Huh? Is that what you're going to do? Tough guy. You want to be a tough
Call
guy?
The cops.
You're not so tough right now, are
Call
you?
Call the cops.
You're not so tough, are you, small guy? You're a short
I'm following
little guy.
The law. You're not following the law.
You're a tiny little man.
Vehicle
you're a big
code.
Shot.
Vehicle code.
You're a big shot.
21760.
Really huh?
21760.
Oh,
3 feet.
Smacked you so good.
Okay, so.
Huh.
There's more. What?
Yeah?
They're very agitated with each
sure.
other. Look, road rage is a real thing.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
So they're angry. They're fired up mm-hmm. at this point. What should happen here? How should this have been handled? The bicyclist pulled over. I think the SUV should have just kept going and thought, well, that was an ugly encounter. I'm glad to get away from that guy, especially if he believes he's in. Like, this guy is so mad that he pulls over and then in person approaches the bicyclist. And by the way, he is in his face. It's almost, and he's a big dude. It's almost like he is hoping the bicyclist will take a swing at him. He very much wants to beat down this guy.
Wait, now I'm confused. Who's the aggressor in the audio?
The SUV driver.
Well, then he's an a-hole. He should have just kept going. This guy obviously wanted a confrontation. That's all this is about.
Yeah, the
he
driver
has a very
of the
small
SUV.
Penis,
right,
and he was
exactly.
very angry.
And he is, you can hear that he's just looking for, he doesn't know anything about this bicyclist. He's looking for anything that he can criticize him
yeah.
for. So he's talking about how little he is, and I think later he makes fun of his little bike outfit or something like that. But he's jabbing his finger in the bicyclist's face, and like I said, it's almost like he's hoping that there will be a fight because he knows he'll win that fight because he's such a big guy.
Ugh.
I get that you're angry behind the wheel, but how do you take it? How do you take it in person? Usually, I think these things are. It's easy to be a dick when you're driving a big automobile and you've mm-hmm. got the protection of that around you. But once everybody's out of their vehicles and they're face to face, aren't they just people at that point? Can't it just be reasonable at that point?
You don't ever pull over to confront someone to be reasonable.
That's
to be
point.
Reasonable, you would keep driving.
That's a good point. All right, here's more.
If there wasn't any witnesses, you know what I'd do to you? I'd pull Trump on
What's
you.
What's your name?
Huh?
Okay, wait. Hold on a sec.
Whoa.
Hold on a sec. Is this a new verb in the language that I'm unfamiliar with?
If there wasn't any witnesses, you know what I'd do to you? I'd pull Trump on
What's
you.
What's your name?
Huh?
So.
Is the bicyclist Latino?
I don't know. He's unidentified still. He has not come forward to reveal himself.
So this is just audio.
You can't see him. No, it's video too.
Oh, it's just from like a helmet.
It's from a helmet.
Okay.
So you can't see the bicyclist himself. So now the guy is, it's not just, hey, we had a disagreement about who's supposed to be in this lane. Now it's, if there weren't witnesses, I would beat you.
Yeah.
That I mean, he really, really wants to swing a punch.
Yeah, he's.
My name is your worst enemy, mother. My name is your worst enemy.
I'm going to remember that, by the
How
way.
How old is this guy?
He looks to me like he's around... Oh, here it is in the article. He's 66 years old.
Oh, good Lord.
The road rager is 66.
Grampy, get back in your car.
His name is Robert Lewis, and he's the one. He's the surfer who's...
Ugh.
I'm going to remember, though, my name is your worst enemy mother effer. In my new film, Turd Tornado, that is going to be a big scene.
You want to... I'm your huckleberry, buddy. I'm your huckleberry.
Okay. Help me out with the
is
old people slang.
Tombstone?
Is that what it is?
I think it's from Tombstone.
I'm your huckleberry. I'm
oh
unfamiliar with
God.
The term. That's about right for a 66-year-old man. Okay.
You short little punk. Huh? You come through this town thinking you're really cool on your bike, like you own this lane.
Why is the bicyclist the punk, by the way, in this situation?
Because he's a 66-year-old surfer, and he deserves to drive his car on PCH in this neighborhood.
Look, at the bike lane is on this
it's
side.
It's called Cheryl.
It's right in the middle of the street.
Cheryl. I get Cheryl. I get
but
that entire lane.
You came around me like this.
You
came around.
You blocked my way.
I didn't block your way. I honked my horn because you were way over in our lane.
No, that's my lane.
No, it's not
Cheryl.
Your lane.
It's Cheryl.
Your lane.
Look at the law.
I don't know that there's any way this ends well.
Mm-mm.
They're going to have to agree to disagree before somebody gets hurt here, right?
I don't think you understand when someone is that out of control. There's no reasoning. There's no agree to disagree with this dude.
Look at the law.
Watching you. You're lucky today,
look
buddy.
At the law.
You're
I
lucky
am.
Today.
What's your name?
Huh? My name is your worst enemy. Okay. You short little.
He's kind of obsessed that the bicyclist is littler than him, isn't he?
Wow.
He does bring that up a lot.
Huh? Come on.
I'm just looking at you. I'm not coming after you.
No,
I'm
you're not because you're, you're afraid, aren't you? You're that's why. Think you're a tough guy on your stupid little bike, but you're a short little right? And you don't want to with a guy like me, a surfer, that lives in this town.
There
puts up
is.
With your all the time, right? Puts up with your all the time like you own this like you own the road. You don't own the
you
road.
You own the
buddy.
Road?
I don't own the road, but you're the one that got me in the way.
See that sign right there? That's Shero. See that?
In the middle of the
Shero.
I'll tell you, the bicyclist has incredible restraint at this point to have this guy in his face like this. Well, they do. The guy does end up walking away. You see this on the video. And he was later interviewed by CBS Los Angeles. His name is Robert Lewis. He's 66 years old. He says, believe it or not, Allie, when things calm down, he says that he is embarrassed after the video went viral. He says, I'm just an old surfer, a knucklehead, and I do apologize for using the words that I use. He also said that he didn't understand the share lane rules when he was screaming at the cyclist. I'm very embarrassed, and I screwed up.
He's very embarrassed there was video and it was released. That's what he's embarrassed about. He's going to do this again. He's got anger problems, and he's a grump.
You think this is his MO?
Yeah, for sure.
Newport Beach Police Department is investigating the case. I don't know what they'll possibly find. The guys walked away. Nobody put a finger on anybody. But it was a miracle that this did not turn into a full-on brawl right there in the middle of the PCH. But
locals only, Peen. Locals only.
I guess that's why so many bicyclists have these little GoPros on their helmets, though, is for you know, altercations like this. I mean, if there weren't video of this, who knows what, you know, we'd never found out about it. So
yeah.
Anyway, good time. So don't do that, people. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Don't do that. At the end of this month, we welcome Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Sting into the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. He's going to be performing live and being interviewed by us and you. If you'd like to be there for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn your way in. You cannot buy these tickets. You can only win them from the Kevin and Bean Show. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I was watching a lot of the fire coverage yesterday, Allie. It's bad. It is bad.
Awful. And we're not even in fire season yet.
Nope.
It's insane.
Last I heard, it was about 35,000 acres, I want to say, was burning at one time yesterday in that fire, which is the size of the city of San Francisco was on fire. And these high temperatures are not helping. And it's not just in California that's crazy hot. By the way, 118 in Death Valley yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
Hottest spot in the nation, but all over, especially on the East Coast, in Philadelphia, in New York, in Washington, D.C., they have temperatures well into triple digits. And I saw something that I don't think I've ever heard of before in the news recently, which is in upstate New York, people started complaining, hey, what's that bad smell? And it turned out that it was so hot that piles of horse manure were exploding, were bursting into flames.
Oh, my God, no.
The police were called in the town of Throop, and the responding officer learned that the owners of a horse stable had been stirring manure in large piles that were frequently spontaneously combusting due to the excessive heat. That is, that's a new one on me right there.
Is it methane? What?
I don't know, but I thought, I bet Dave can find us somebody to talk to.
Oh,
and I
good.
Believe we have Carl Nance, who is with the city of Throop. Hi, Mr. Nance. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? It's great to be here.
Well, we're doing fine. Who do you work for? I'm sorry, I don't have that information, sir.
I work for the Department of Environmental Conservation in the state of New York.
Okay. Well, look, this is new to us about poop.
It's new to you. It's new to us, too.
Oh, really?
Thing? Exploding poop, who knew?
Well, it sounds just awful. It sounds apocalyptic.
Yes, it does.
Does it?
Apocalyptic.
Yep.
Yes, that's the word. I knew you'd get to it eventually.
All right, so what's going on? Is there science behind this?
There is. There's lots of science behind it.
Can we hear some of it?
Oh, sure. Okay. Absolutely. Well, people were complaining about an odor in the air, like, what the heck is that, they were saying.
Uh-huh.
So we had to investigate because, you know, when a bad smell comes around, who are you going to call?
The Department of Environmental Conservation.
Exactly.
All right.
So we went out to the horse stable at the Triple R Horse Ranch out here.
Uh-huh.
We investigated. It turned out for some reason, they store their poop. Who knew? But there was giant piles of poop and things were just exploding. It was madness.
Well, I mean, it's possible maybe they save it for to use in another part of a year as fertilizer, maybe since they're a farm and they're growing things.
Hey, that's a good idea. You should work for this. Department of Environmental Conservation.
All right. So is I mean, this is not entirely common, but it seems to be happening more than one.
Take a breath. It's okay. You're amongst friends.
I'm sorry, Mr. Nance. I don't know where I was going with that.
No one does.
It's not happening everywhere, but it's happening enough.
What?
This is apocalyptic.
What are you getting at? I don't understand at all even the beginning of your question.
Give him a minute.
You want to take some time? You want to get a cool drink? Lay down, get a compress on your head?
I
think
really,
you're overcome by the heat, perhaps.
It is very warm in here. That's actually true. So, this is happening a lot?
Yes.
That was it? That's what you were getting at?
Yes, Mr. Nance?
It took 3 fire departments 2 hours to put out all the burning manure.
That's a lot of poop on fire.
It is, and we were very concerned, but it seems like we've got the situation well in hand.
Oh, no. Carl.
Oh, no.
Careful.
Oh, it's in my mouth.
Oh, it's in your mouth?
Oh, no, it's a...
Oh, God.
Goodness, it's a poop-elliptic.
One of the great joys of this job is the Breakfast With series that we've done over the years here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I mean, the last couple alone, being able to be in a room and interview and watch play Arcade Fire and Jack White. And now we are back with a brand new one just announced earlier this week. A legend will be here at K-Rock August 31st. We're talking about Breakfast With Sting. If you want to go, 1-800-520-1067. You have to earn the tickets. It's time for the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Ralph, you've joined us in studio here. You see what's happening in the next room? You see all those people that are lined up?
It's incredible. It looks like the Oscars in the other room. They're just sitting there, celebrity after celebrity, waiting for something. I don't even know why they're here.
Well, I think they're here because we're going to spin a wheel, and that celebrity's name will come up, and they'll be reading a lyric from Sting or from Sting's former band, The Police. All the caller on the line is going to have to do is tell us what song that is. If they're right, they win tickets to join us. Less than 2 weeks from now, by the way, on Wednesday, August 31st in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. So let's start with Sarah. She's in Canoga Park, and she is up first on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sarah. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Big Sting fan, are you?
Yeah, pretty big Sting fan.
All right. Well, you're exactly who we're looking for. Allie, you're spinning the wheel for us.
I am. All right.
Let's see it.
Oh, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah!
Fly. It's your turn. Fly, you're up.
Look at this.
Oh, I can't believe this. You know, it's very exciting for me to be doing a voice, you know, with the lyrics, you know, police and everything. It's
sure.
Great, you know.
Well, it's great to see you.
It's great to see you.
I'm curious to see your interpretation of this great Sting song.
Me too. All right, here you go. If it's a mirror you want, just look into my eyes, or a whipping boy, someone to despise. Or a prisoner in the dark, you know, tied up in chains you just can't see.
Hmm. What do you think there, Sarah?
I'm just going to guess When We Dance.
I'm sorry. No, not this time. That was If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free. Sly, I'm sorry. It wasn't you.
Just look into my eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Aww, that sounds good.
Or a whipping boy.
Thank you, Sarah.
Someone to surprise.
All right, Sly, we're going to have to ask you to step out.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's do one.
No, I'm sorry. We're going to bring somebody else in.
It's a long way to get here, you know?
I know. And you were great. I appreciate it very much, but we're out of time for you. I'm sorry. Let's go to Mario. He's in Bell. He's up next, line 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mario. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing, Alex?
Good.
Wheel of Celebrities. Let's spin the wheel. Let's find out who's going to be doing Sting or Police lyrics for you.
Christopher Walken.
Ooh.
Yay! Nice.
Hey, Mr. Walken.
Wow.
Did you see Sylvester Stallone on the way out? He seemed a little ticked off.
Very upset.
Yeah.
Angry.
How about you got one of the great voices of all time. Let's hear a dramatic reading of you doing Sting, please.
Though I've tried before to tell her of the feelings I have for her in my heart, every time that I come near her, I just lose my nerve, as I've done from the start.
Mario.
Oh, great. Every breath you take.
I'm sorry, no. Mm. This time around, it was every little thing she does is magic.
Have these people ever even heard Sting?
You would think no.
These are very popular songs.
Strangers to his music.
That. It does sound like that, yes. All right, Mr. Walken, thank you so much for coming by. Great to see you. Let's try Emily Woodland Hills up next. Line 7 on the Kevin Meacham. Emily, we're not doing great so far. Are you going to break the streak for us?
I hope so.
All right, good luck. Allie, sure. Let's spin the wheel.
And that is William Shatner.
Hey, Bill.
Hello. Kevin and Bean.
Hello.
We're doing great. Thank you. Hey, before you read the Sting lyric, can you put Kevin down for a table at your charity event?
I can. $10,000.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Listen up, Emily. Here's the captain.
To have you with me, I would swim the seven seas. I need you as my guide and my light. My love is a flame that burns in your name.
We'll be together.
Well done, Emily.
Sting!
You will be with us at Breakfast with Sting coming up on Wednesday, August 31st. Thank you, Mr. Shatner. Appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah.
Did you ride a horse in here today?
I did.
That was a little bit of a surprise.
Giddy up.
All right. Let's try Joey up next. He's in Southgate. He's on line 6. Hey, Joe. Hello, Joey.
Hello. Good morning.
All right. Hey, pay attention, man.
All right. You ready? I'm going to spin the wheel, Joey.
Spin the wheel.
Former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mr. Governor.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm incredible. Look at me. I'm incredibly swollen and vascular.
Yeah, you are.
You know, for your age, I got to tell you, you present pretty well. All right. Help Joey win some tickets for Breakfast with Sting. Let's hear you doing a Stinger Police song, please.
Encircled you in trenches and barbed wire. Then let me build a bridge, for I cannot fill the chasm. And let me set the battlements on fire.
Do you have any idea what any of that means, Arnold?
No, none whatsoever.
All right, Joey, what song is that? Okay. I think what he was saying is, I'm sorry, Kevin, I don't know the answer to that one, but it is Fortress Around Your Heart is what we're saying. All right.
He had the potty mouth that one, didn't he?
Yeah, a little dirty.
Bit. Yeah. All right, let's do one more contestant this time around. Let's make it Yvette, please. She's in Culver City. She's on line 5. Yvette, welcome to the show. You're our last chance to win tickets today. You ready?
All right, make it easy, guys.
All right.
Well, it's not up to us. It's up to the wheel, you know, whatever it lands on.
No, well, that's true.
Adam West.
Yay!
Oh, right.
TV's Batman.
Hello,
hi, Adam West.
Kevin Bean, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Hey, I've been very excited about your new animated movie coming out.
Yes, coming out in November. Batman, The Return of the Caped Crusaders.
It's very exciting. Hey, are you willing to help Yvette win some tickets for Breakfast with Sting while you're here?
Absolutely. Of course I am.
Good luck. Listen up, Yvette.
Since you've gone, I've been lost without a trace. I dream at night. I can only see your face. I look around, but it's you I can't replace. I feel so cold, and I long for your embrace.
Oh, my God. Is it Don't Stand So Close to Me?
You're going to be very sad when I play this piece of tape for you with the correct answer.
Oh, man.
So close.
Every little breath you take. Is magic.
Every breath you take was the song. So sorry, Yvette. Thanks for playing. Thank you, Mr. West. This has been the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
little early to be yelling at us, if you want my opinion. 6:55 Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk about the TV show 60 Days In coming up at the top of the hour with a sheriff in Indiana who runs a program where people go to jail on purpose. Innocent people consent to be put in jail for 2 months.
Good. It's about time the innocent started spending some time in jail.
I don't think that's what we're
saying
at all.
Why do guilty have to be the only ones? Let's be fair about it.
Because the innocent people haven't done anything to deserve to be put
in jail.
They've
done something.
But they're doing it to be snitches for the police. It's a fascinating show that is premiering tonight on A&E Season 2 of 60 Days In. We'll talk to the sheriff coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Tomorrow night, Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. It is Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Writer, director, actor, podcaster, legend Kevin Smith and I take the stage at the Improv on Melrose, and we make with the funny.
No.
10 p.m. tomorrow night. We'd love to have you come out and join us. And if you're down there in Orange County next week, next Friday night, we'll be at the Irvine Improv.
Holy spoiler alert!
Right? So come on out and check out the show. I think you'll have a good time.
Says who?
You can go to improv.com to get your tickets and more.
Says who?
Says me, mister. You know what else is going to be a good time? Remember Clue, the movie Clue, based on the classic board game Clue?
I don't think I do remember.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I remember the game. I don't think I recall the film.
You've never seen Clue?
I don't think I have. Who's in Clue?
So funny. Oh, bunch of nobodies. Michael McKean, Christopher Lloyd, Martin Mull, Tim Curry.
What?
Madeline
I would love
Kahn,
that.
Eileen Brennan.
What was this?
Hello?
Out?
Is this thing on?
Allie, have you seen it?
I have. I actually saw that in the theater with my parents.
I went to see it like four times in the theater because they had different endings.
Yeah.
You never know what knew what ending you were going to see when you went to see the movie.
That's fun.
Yes.
Where were you?
What happened to you?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I ever have heard about a Michael McKean Clue movie.
Well, it happened. 1985.
All right.
And now they're remaking it. Another version is being made by Fox and Hasbro Studios as part of a deal to produce at least four feature films based on popular board games. They are working on Clue. And, of course, they're doing another Ouija board movie called Ouija or Origin of Evil, which will be out just before Halloween. But they're also working on Monopoly, the movie, Candyland, the movie, Magic the Gathering, the movie, and Stretch Armstrong, the movie. So lots of toy movies coming in soon.
Did you have a Stretch Armstrong?
I did have a Stretch Armstrong.
Did you ever pull him apart?
Pull him apart?
Yeah. Stretch him so much that then he came apart and all the jelly leaked out?
No!
Oh.
I didn't murder my Stretch Armstrong.
I did.
What kind of creature were you?
I wanted to see what was inside of him that made him so stretchy.
You're like one of those serial killers. They could tell at a young age that you had issues.
Not cool.
Murdered Stretch Armstrong.
Stains carpet, by the way.
I know he would, if you left him in the toy box for too long, he'd get cracky. Like his skin would dry.
Yeah, his skin, yeah.
That was some BS right there.
Yeah.
Sad news. James Woolley, former keyboard player with Nine Inch Nails, has passed away. He was 50 years old. No cause of death has been revealed yet. James was in the band from 1991 to 1994 and toured with Trent Reznor's lineup of the band at the time when the Broken EP was released in 1992. So, sad news.
Yeah, very much so. So, yeah.
Speaking of music, a new Metallica documentary is now streaming exclusively in a place you wouldn't really expect it, Spotify. So first for the music service, it is called Metallica, The Early Years, Landmark. And all four parts of that documentary are now up on Spotify as of today.
It's getting confusing, isn't it, with all of these various outlets? I mean, like when you told us a couple of weeks ago about that that new Carpool Karaoke show that was going to Apple Music.
Yes.
So now we're going to Apple Music to watch new TV shows, right. And we're going Spotify to watch
documentaries. Watch a documentary.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
It's just too much.
A lot of options.
This particular documentary goes deep into how the band got together with a ton of footage you've probably never seen before from 1981 through 1984. And the album Ride the Lightning, legendary album, is featured in a big way. So if you're a Metallica fan, Spotify, check it out.
Sounds like fun.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Samberg is 38 years old today. Caitlin Olsen turns 41. Malcolm Jamal Warner of The Cosby Show. And most recently, People vs. O.J. Simpson, 46. Christian Slater's 47. Edward Norton is 47 as well. Madeline Stowe turns 58. Dennis Leary, 59 years old, and movie legend, actor, director, creator of Sundance. Guy's done a lot for the film industry. 80 years old today, Robert Redford.
He is the founder of ISIS. No, he's the founder of ISIS.
The founder of the Sundance Film Festival.
Mr. Trump was confused.
Maybe
Sorry.
That's what you're thinking of,
it
Donald.
Is ISIS to Park City.
What?
Sundance Film Festival
is ISIS
like ISIS
to Park City?
Absolutely.
Because of all that money it brings in every year?
Well, tell that to the locals. They hate it.
You didn't hate it when you were selling your driveway.
I dug it.
And by driveway, I mean...
That's not a driveway where you're pointing.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm so excited to talk to Jim Rome in 1 hour as the Ryan Lochte story from Brazil continues to unravel. What's going on with your boyfriend, Allie?
Not my boyfriend. Not a smart man.
What's
I'm
going
concerned.
On with him? Anyway, we'll get the very latest on that. Dr. Drew on the program later on today. But first, tonight on A&E is a show called 60 Days In. It has a 2-hour season 2 premiere, and this is fascinating. If you've ever wanted to be a fly on the wall and want to know what it's actually like in prison, this is your chance to do it through the eyes of ordinary citizens who have volunteered to be sent to jail for 60 days. Again, they're innocent, yet they volunteered to be sent to jail. Let's find out why and find out how that's going with the sheriff of the Clark County Jail in Indiana, Sheriff Jamie Knoll, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Sheriff, how are you, sir?
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you on. The idea for the show is one of the craziest things I've ever seen, and I bet if you had asked me, I would have said no one will ever volunteer to go undercover into prison on purpose. But you're able to find people to do it. How?
Yeah, absolutely. So, believe it or not, we had a really good response. But the people that we ultimately picked, the 7 for, season 1 and the 8 for season 2, they all stood out as people that had obvious reasons because of the professional background or personal history that they wanted to help out in corrections and to open up a serious discussion. And I continue to get flooded with phone calls and emails of people willing to volunteer should we do another part of this program, and just massive interest in wanting to help out.
Isn't that something? So, I mean, it's everything from a lawyer to a former police officer to one lady who's on this season who's doing it because her daughter is serving time and she wants to find out what it's like for her. There's so much interest in what it's like on the inside. And I don't think we've ever seen what it's like on the inside on a TV show like we see it on your show, Sheriff.
Exactly. A lot of people don't realize there's a difference between jail and prison. Jail primarily houses innocent people that are there on pretrial detainee, or they can be sentenced sometimes for up to a year or two in a county jail. But generally sentenced people that are convicted or plead guilty are ones that actually go to prison, which is prison's a more longer term holding facility. Mm-hmm. But you're exactly right. I have one particular judge in one of our busiest courts in our county told me, said, Sheriff, I had no idea that that's what jail was like. And it came from a man that has been sentencing people to the Clark County Jail for well over 20 years.
And how about you, as a guy who's been in law enforcement for so long? Are you learning things every time you send somebody in about the way the jail under your jurisdiction is being run?
So I'm literally, when I'm watching the episode at home, the same time that everyone else is seeing it, I'm still taking notes on stuff that the learning process for me started when we brought the last undercover inmate out and did our debriefs. And then when I'm watching it on the screen, too, of how we can improve things. But please keep in mind that there was only 10 days between season 1 and season 2. So when we were taking the last undercover participants out of season 1 and debriefing them, we were already inserting, within that 10-day period, we were inserting the new undercover participants for season 2.
Right.
So most of my learning is still continuing, even as of today. And I still have undercover participants that called me and said, hey, Sheriff, the more I thought about it, I forgot to tell you about this. Or I see it literally when you're seeing it sitting at home the same time. So it's a continual improvement process for me and for the Sheriff's Office and the Clark County Jail.
Are you able to keep an eye on these participants, or are they just treated like everyone else?
They're treated like everyone else, And because of the secrecy of the program, I had to be very careful as sheriff. It would be no different than the main boss of the radio station over your shoulder every day there while you're doing your show. It's just kind of unnatural. So I had to be very careful. But it also took me and, you know, the upper staff to be involved, you know, to make sure that we're the proper change agents and we're big enough to admit where we've made mistakes or where mistakes are or where we can improve and not cover anything up, but see it out in the open for transparency purposes. And then what can we do to fix it to make it better?
Yeah, there's a lot of transparency on the show. And as you mentioned, you don't see the episode before it airs. So it's really, you don't even know what footage they got. So it's not like you're controlling the narrative on this. The sheriff is exactly. one of only four law enforcement officials, Ali, that even know who the undercover agents are. So when they're processed, the people who are handling them think they're just, you know, just another convict.
Oh, geez.
And, I mean, it is terrifying. And I started thinking so much when I was watching this episode one that, again, airs tonight on A&E at 9 o'clock. I started thinking about this, Sheriff. In your opinion, you've been around this for a long time. Are the jails filled with good people who made a bad choice, or are they filled with bad people? Because the impression I get from watching episode one is there's a lot of bad, bad people in that jail.
So what I've learned is the problem, in my opinion, in the jail system in our country, I started out as a state trooper before I retired, and I used to have the adage, if you put somebody in jail and who cares what happened, I did my job. But what I've learned from this program, and I've learned since I've been sheriff, is if you lock people up and you treat them like animals or like they're a thing or a person just to move around the facility, that's what we're going to get in return. And I think, unfortunately, in this bad inmate behavior that you're seeing, is a lot of the inmates, no matter how hard that we're trying to reach out to help them through our programming, they don't want help. And the ones that are doing a good job are the quiet ones that you see that are scared to death that they're in there. And a lot of what you see from the undercover participants, that, you know, it's an eye-opening. To me, the biggest shock is that first time that someone gets arrested for something they can't bond out for, or they do something really stupid and get charged with a felony, that's a life-changing event. They're either going to go off to the dark side and they're going to become what you see, that bad inmate behavior, mm-hmm. and get in that cycle of getting arrested and rearrested, or is there something we can do to prevent that, to help rehabilitate or to a lesson that they don't ever want to go back to jail.
Right.
Well, this
right.
is also keeping your staff accountable because they're the ones being watched as well. If someone on maybe your staff were to wind up being a little on the shady side, wouldn't that be entrapment because they're being videoed and they don't know it in their place of work?
No, they know it. They knew that there was a show going on about first-timers, not that there was undercover participants. So they signed, you know, the agreements just like the inmates did, or we reassigned their work area. But, yeah, unfortunately, I had to fire some corrections officers. Some resigned. Mm-hmm. But the good part about this program, too, is where we're short-staffed and under-budgeted, the good corrections officers that are on their A game every day giving 110%, they shine through this process. They're the ones that you see in these episodes that when a fight goes on, that they're actually walking into that section, they're checking on things, doing what they're supposed to be doing. And every one of the undercover participants from both season one and season two, time and time again, kept telling me, Officer Capehart does a good job. You know, the same officers' names that were doing a good job kept coming up over and over again, but then the same officers that needed improvements name was coming up over and over again. So for me, it not only shined the light on what we needed to do to improve and who was not doing the best job, but it also shined what the good officers were doing and what we're doing right to improve upon also.
This is the voice of Sheriff Jamie Noel on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the TV show 60 Days In, 2-hour season 2 premiere tonight at 9 on A&E. I have one final question for you, Sheriff, and that is about the people not only in your test group from season 1 that got out after their 60 days inside prison, but just prisoners in general. It's so hard for people to get reintroduced into the real world after they get out of jail. Isn't there a phenomena where people sort of kind of want to go back to jail? That becomes their preferred place after they've spent some time behind bars?
Yes, and absolutely. So Mona Lisa that you'll see in season two when she finishes and or exits the program, she specifically told me that I wanted to do something to go back. And now this is an innocent person. This is someone that knew that she could have got out, you know, in an emergency situation if she wanted to, that she was only going to be in there up to 60 days. So we're working hard now on our programming to help people to get ready to be released. But then also we're giving them now a pamphlet. Everyone that leaves the Clark County Jail, that it's normal that you could feel this way. You could feel depressed. Here's how you cope with it. And if you can't handle it, here's the resources that you need to get help.
Unbelievable.
So that's a very big part of what we're doing, too.
Well, it's, I mean, psychologically, this show is fascinating. And for anyone who has any interest in law enforcement or prisoners or how the interaction works, it is a great, great show that you should definitely check out tonight on A&E at 9 o'clock. It's called 60 Days In. Sheriff Noel, you're doing some great work out there. I really think it's making a difference. And I want to thank you for coming on the Kevin Devine Show today. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
How about that, Allie?
I don't want to go to jail.
I don't think
ever.
I do. I don't think I do either.
Ever.
All right. We're going to open up the phone lines for you right now. If you'd like to be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show today, we've got room for you today. It's called Kevin and Bean's What's Good, and this is where you tell us what's on your mind. You can give us a call now at 1-800-520-1067. I'd love to talk Ryan Lotke with you if that's something you want to talk about or anything else going on. You got questions, you got problems, you got something to put on our radar that we don't know about. Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll get right to your calls for Kevin and Bean's What's Good right after this on K-Rock.
Don't.
Hey!
Not a hey. That's definitely not a hey. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We've been doing What's Good for a couple of months now. And man, is it a crapshoot. Sometimes it's so fun. And then there's yesterday, where we had the lady calling in about the dragons being
real. Best day ever, by the way, was yesterday. What's wrong with you?
There was something in the water, man. You just some days, it's
just... That guy did the brilliant impressions. We had that guy.
Then
we had dragons are real. Come on.
All right. Well, let's see how it goes today. 1-800-520-1067. Time for your calls. What's good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. On your mind, your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
All right, I think we can do some good today. We have at least one caller who wants some advice from us, and it's going to be Andre. He's in LA. He's on line one, and he is up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andre, thank you for calling, sir. What's going on? What's good?
Hi, how you doing? Well, my life's good. I mean, I've been going on the right path. You know, I actually, you know, started my company when I was 17. And, you know, I had gotten out of jail and I had, you know, I didn't know anything about food and, like, cooking kind of, like, saved my life.
All right, let me put you on hold right there. Hold on, Andre. How do you think today is going, Ralph?
I think it's awesome. Kid came out of jail, Bean.
Okay.
Didn't know anything about cooking and started his own business at 17.
Oh, is that what I missed? Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I dozed off.
All right. Pretty impressive.
So what's the question or comment, Andre?
All right, my question is, I've been loyal for my company for like 20 years, and I haven't got to that last level yet, and it's coming. But I actually got offered to go somewhere else, and I went on the interview, and they told me that I was too nervous, which I didn't understand that. I answered all their questions. I wore a suit, you know. I was dressed really nice, made sure my appearance was good.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to them. I told them how passionate I was with my cooking and you know, making good food and having phenomenal service for people because that's what
okay.
I do. And I just didn't understand how I laid out the resume, 20 years of experience.
Okay.
And then maybe I called too soon because my interview was on Wednesday, and then I called Sunday just to, like, be like, oh, what's going on? You know, how did they like me? Was I all right?
And okay, Andre. Did someone tell you that they didn't hire you because you were too nervous in the interview? Is that what you're bringing up?
Yes, and I don't understand that. Like, why? Anyone would be nervous going on an interview if
sure.
it's going to change their life and if they're going to make more money, because I'm doing it for my daughter and my mentally ill wife, you know, and
okay.
I take care of
both
of them.
And I work gotcha. Extremely
Look,
hard.
Look, you sound like a great guy, and a guy, as you pointed out, is very passionate about what they do. But when you go on a job interview, I mean, help me out with this, guys. I think they're looking for a personality. They're looking for a type of person that they can see fitting into the group, somebody that they're going to be comfortable with, somebody with that they're going to show up every day and work side by side with. And maybe they just didn't get a true test of your personality because you were so nervous. You just didn't show as well. You'd probably be a great employee, but they only know you from that 15 minutes that you were in their office. So that's the first impression that they got of you. And it is unfair. And I don't think that makes you not a good employee for them. I feel like they probably misjudged you based on the little amount of information that they had that day. What do you guys think?
I think everything happens for a reason. And if for some reason they weren't into you at that point, let it go. Move on to the next job interview. Maybe you'll nail that one. It's not a reflection on you and how good you are at your work that they didn't hire you. It wasn't a good fit. That's all it is.
Yeah. Also, sometimes, Andre, people can be insecure themselves, and confidence breeds confidence. If someone comes in and just seems like a confident person, it makes them confident in hiring them because it takes some of the nervousness out of their situation. So try to work on that. Try to fake it until you make it. You know, come in there and try to develop your presentation skills so that next interview that you get on, you can show up and be a little bit more confident and let them relax a little bit, knowing that if they hire you, they can be confident that you can do the job.
That's good. Thank you for that advice. And I just hope my company that I'm with now understands how bad I want that executive position.
Well, I hope so, too. I hope you get it, Andre. You sound like a great guy, and give our best to your family, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye, Andre. Gabby is in West Covina. She's on line two. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Gabby. What's good?
Hi, guys. You know what? I just got great news. Well, let me explain something. Back in 2002, I was a victim of domestic violence. And, I was born in Mexico, and I'm 34 years old. I've been here for 33 years, and I just got the great news that I'm going to become a citizen.
How awesome. About that?
Congratulations, Gabby.
Wow.
Thank you. So
President Trump is not going to be able to send you back and then build a wall so you can't get back in because you'll be a citizen.
Exactly.
I'm just curious because we hear so much about how difficult the path to citizenship is in this country, and that's why so many people come illegally is because they'd love to do it legally, but they can't. How tough was the process for you? How long did it take, Gabby?
It took me a lot of years. It took a lot of me. You know, I have a son with my ex-husband. It took a toll on my health. It took a toll on my mental statement, on my mental state. Mm-hmm. I overcame everything. You know, like I said, I'm 34 years old. I've been here for 33 years. My parents brought me when I was a little girl. So, you know, that piece of paper is going to take, I mean, it's everything that I've worked for. You know,
that's wonderful.
It's taken since 2002 for me to become a citizen, and it's very tough.
Hey,
guys, we got a big problem if it takes 14 years of paperwork to become a citizen, by the way.
Exactly.
Gabby, quick pop quiz. What was the last state added to the union?
I don't know.
Oh, you're out. Forget it.
No way.
Hang
out, Gabby.
You are not welcome.
Ralph, in Gabby's defense, Kevin didn't know that one either when you asked
That's
him, okay?
That's true, yeah. Okay.
Gabby, welcome. Welcome as a U.S. resident. We're happy to have you. Congratulations, my dear, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Let's do one more, and let's make it Daniel. I think you guys will like this. He's in Long Beach. He's on line three up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Daniel, what's good, my friend?
Hey, morning, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
My thing with what's good is about a month ago when I went to go pick up my Hard Summer Fest ticket, the one in Fontana, mm-hmm. I asked the security guard, Charles, hey, who's the bigger dick between Kevin or Bean? He just laughed like, they're all cool. So, a little spin off there and he just chuckled there.
I was hoping that there would be an answer. I was hoping to find out from you through Charles who's the bigger dick, but you're saying he wouldn't name either one of us.
I mean, no.
No, Charles too nice for that, Bean.
Does that mean we're both tied for being the biggest?
He would never say it's you.
How dare you? Thanks for calling, Daniel.
Put a poll on Facebook.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up. This has been What's Good?
What's Good?
All this week on K-Rock, we're giving you your chance to pick a ticket. It's either Guns N' Roses at Dodger Stadium or Coldplay at the Rose Bowl. And congratulations. Thanks for listening to Ivan Martinez from Huntington Park. He is going to see GNR at Dodger Stadium. That's going to be fun. Allie, are you going to either of those shows?
I'm not, and I'm totally bummed. Which would you pick, though?
I think I'd Coldplay it.
Yeah.
I think. I loved Guns N' Roses as much as anybody back in the day, but I've lost some enthusiasm for them since it's been 25 years since they put out a good song.
Huh.
I think that's where I'm at. I think Coldplay's still going. And, you know, if you believe Chris Martin, who knows how long Coldplay's going to be around. This could be your last chance to see him. So your chance to win those tickets and pick a ticket coming up on K-Rock and more of our Breakfast with Sting as well. All right. Gold's Gym is in the news. I guess it must be tough when you've got hundreds and hundreds of outlets all over the world and they're franchised and everybody's kind of doing their own thing and their own advertising. It's kind of tough to keep everything in check with what you would like to see from the corporate aspect of it.
Sure.
This guy went a little bit rogue. He is running a franchise in Egypt, and he advertised his Gold's Gym location with an ad that pictured a picture of a pear, the fruit, a pear. Mm-hmm. And the text on the ad is, "This is no shape for a girl."
Oh, dear.
And curiously, it didn't hit everybody great.
Huh.
Not everybody thought it was appropriate advertising.
Really?
Including management at Gold's Gym that is basically, they've come out and they said, look, we're trying to get people to feel empowered by fitness, to not be intimidated by it, that we want you to be physically, mentally, and emotionally strong. It's not about the shape of your body. It's about being healthy. That's what they have been preaching. So they cut this guy loose. They canceled his franchise, but he still hasn't taken down the ad. The ad is all over social media. And Gold's Gym is furious about it.
Because people are equating Gold's Gym with this guy. So
absolutely.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. So I'm sure there's some reasonable explanation. I'm sure he's a very nice man, and all just a mix-up. So we asked Dave, hey, can we get a hold of the guy who runs the Gold's Gym Egyptian franchise? And he is on the phone right now. This is Mr. Abdel Al-Shab, who joins us on K-Rock right now. Abdel, hello, sir.
Hey, my babies. How are you today, my babies? Hey, my pretty babies. How are you today?
Well, we're doing fine. We want to give you a chance in your own words to tell us what happened with this firestorm as a result of your ad, "This is no shape for a girl," and a picture of a pear.
I cannot believe all these people are so upset about this ad. It's crazy, huh?
Well, no. A lot of people are offended because women with bigger hips and a smaller bust would be considered pear-shaped, but they're at a gym to work out, to empower themselves, feel better about their body, and you're basically telling them their body's not good.
Right.
See, no.
Oh, I'm confused.
Allie was saying what you said is offensive to women. Who
Look, if you got the big ass, okay, and you got the small boobies, say, look, why are you offended? You're a pear shape. There's nothing you can do about it, right? But everyone knows you're awful.
Okay, but no, you're not awful. That's just, look, some women are just born, and some men are just born with bigger hips than others.
I know, right?
Okay, I think you're missing the point, which is that's not what Gold's Gym is about. They're there to be healthy.
Look, my babies, look, my pretty babies, okay? Let me tell you something, my babies. Nobody wants a girl with a big ass and small boobies, okay? That's just not what they want. Then nobody wants a pear. Nobody says, oh, I want a pear. What you want is, you want two pineapples, a kiwi, and then a pomegranate.
That's a lot of fruit, and I'm not sure where it all goes.
Right? Sometimes you just want a couple of grapes, and then just a half of a banana, and then maybe some kiwi fruit, and then on top of that, a nectarine.
Okay, now I am also confused about how you're building that ideal woman's body in your
Look,
mind.
I'm telling you something. I know what everybody wants. Nobody wants a pear. What you want is you get... Okay, follow me here, okay?
Okay, all right.
Get yourself like a cutie, okay? Get a cutie, and then get yourself, I don't know, like a stalk of celery, then two tomatoes, and then some pistachio nuts.
I don't know where everything's going.
Are we making an omelet? What are we doing here?
It's crazy, huh?
Wait, an omelet? Are you putting that in an omelet? It's a horrible example.
Hey, nobody wants a pear shape or a guy who gives bad examples. Okay?
This just in. Ryan Lochte and three other U.S. Olympic swimmers lied about being robbed at gunpoint to cover up a brawl they had with a gas station security guard.
Whatever.
I'm sure that would be his comment. We'll talk to our friend Jim Rome about this and all the other news and sports coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
It was Colonel Mustard in the kitchen with
a candlestick.
I recognize that as being from the board game Clue.
Yeah. Classic board game, which was made into a classic movie back in 1985, starring just a who's who of comedy geniuses. Christopher Lloyd, Martin Mull, Tim Curry, Michael McKean, Madeline Kahn, Eileen Brennan. Oh, so good.
They should have released that movie.
They did release it, Bean.
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree because I never heard about it.
How could you not have heard about this?
Well,
I don't know. It's stunning to me.
Was it a big hit?
It was a cult classic. Mm-hmm. When it was first released, it wasn't a huge hit, but it has since grown and gained in popularity to the point where it's some people's favorite comedy.
Wow. Okay.
And everyone in this room has seen it, Bean, except for you.
Yes.
It does sound like that.
And at least very familiar with
it. I haven't even heard of it. It's not just that I haven't seen it. I've never heard of it.
Leslie Ann Warren. Oh, so good.
A Clue movie.
And it was a little gimmicky when it first released because, much like the board game Clue, where we didn't know how the thing was going to turn out, you would go into the theater not knowing which ending you were going to see, who would be the murderer. So it was a crapshoot. So I myself went to see it several times in the theaters, hoping to see all the different endings. But they have since released them on DVD and video, and you can see all the endings.
All right, now why are we talking about this movie?
Because they just announced they're making a new Clue movie. I'm sorry, do we need to move things along for you, or you're not getting your information quick enough?
No, I just thought listeners might be curious as to why we're talking about that.
I was going
to
get there. Fox and Hasbro have announced a brand new Clue movie. No word yet on who will be cast and whether it will have the same comedic tone as the original. They're saying it might be a straight-up thriller. So we'll have to wait and see. Because you know what they did with Ouija board? That was scary. And Battleship, that was a serious drama.
Right.
Remember Battleship?
I do. That you sunk my Battleship?
Yeah, they made a movie based on Battleship.
Really?
Peter Berg. Am I the only one who knows things about movies?
Rihanna was in it, right?
Yes.
They were just putting the little pegs into the...
Easy.
That's boring.
Easy with the pegs. No, it was aliens blowing up battleships and stuff.
Well, that's dumb.
It was dumb.
This is part of a deal that Fox has made with Hasbro Studios to make movies out of a lot of their properties. Monopoly the movie is on the horizon. Candyland. Oh, Candyland should be like a horror movie.
Oh, you went to Peppermint Mountain and found only death.
Ouija's making another film, Ouija, Origin of Evil. Stretch Armstrong movie still in the works based on that toy, Magic the Gathering. So we live in a golden age of movies based on board games.
Next, they're going to make a film about Lego.
Allie's all excited about Brendan Dassey. This is the guy who was the featured... I'm going to say star. No, I was going to say star, but he wasn't really a star. I mean, he was the subject of a documentary called Making a Murderer. And now he's out of the clink.
Oh, is he definitely out now?
Yes. He is on his way out of the clink. He's got big plans for his future. Here's the thing. The people who were making a Murderer, they were working on a sequel, Making a Murderer 2. Mm-hmm. And when he was exonerated, nobody was around to film it.
Oh, no.
They didn't get any footage of that. So now they need to recreate that moment.
Oh, that'll be authentic.
Fake!
Oh, no.
Your show's fake, Allie. You and your fake friends with your fake shows.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Yeah.
Ralph, I know you didn't watch The Making a Murderer.
I didn't.
But this kid, there's never been a case on film of a suspect being coerced into making a confession where he clearly didn't even understand what he was saying than this one. It's insane that he was convicted on that.
It's heartbreaking watching.
It really is.
Brendan earned his GED while he was behind bars. Did you know that?
Aww. Oh, good for him.
And he's got big plans. He said he wants to eat a big meal of mom's lasagna.
Aww.
And dreams of studying video game design. He wants to make video games.
He loved video games.
Yeah. So that's.
What about WrestleMania? Will he get tickets to WrestleMania?
I just.
That's all he wants, Ralph.
Well, buy them for him.
I will.
Guess.
You call me Brendan Dassey. Well, don't.
Yeah.
But
Allie wants to date you now. Ex-con.
He's a very sad little man, Ralph.
All right.
Well, he was railroaded.
Okay. He's out
damn
now.
It, Ralph.
He's coming out. It's all a happy ending, right? Except for the Making a Murderer people. Because they're like, right? Oh,
Now what are we going to do? Now we have to make another movie about somebody else because this one's already over.
Are they given
spoilers?
Are they giving his uncle a new trial? Is that happening, Ellie?
Are
we still waiting for that?
They are. I think a lot is happening in Manitowoc.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Andy Samberg is 38 years old today. Caitlin Olson from Always Sunny in Philadelphia is 41. Where's the bell for Caitlin Olson, by the way?
I don't know, Caitlin. I'll take your word for it.
Malcolm Jamal Warner is 46 years old. Christian Slater turns 47, as does Edward Norton. Seems odd to me that Theo Huxtable from The Cosby Show is basically the same age as Edward Norton and Christian Slater.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Seems odd, doesn't it? Madeline Stowe is 58. Dennis Leary turns 59. And movie legend Robert Redford, not only a talented actor and director and producer, but the creator of the Sundance Film Festival and the Sundance Institute. He's given a lot back to the movie industry that's been good to him. 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Beyonce. And Coldplay on the world-famous K-Rock. 8:08 Thursday morning. It's been a very sad, dark, and lonely past 2 weeks, hasn't it, Allie?
Yes.
Without our friend Jim Rome on the air.
We've missed him.
Jim, no more two-week vacations, dude. We can't handle it with your gone.
Can I tell you guys, it might have been sad and lonely for you, too, but it was the best 2 weeks of my life.
I bet.
Hey, you guys, really quick, have you noticed that ever, between the four of us, one of us is always on vacation for this segment? Somebody always misses this segment.
And it's never me. I have
actually,
noticed
I was going to say, it's just the three of us. It's Bean, you, and me. Okay, Al, you're always here.
Oh, that's sad.
You're right.
Sorry,
Kevin, Ellie. Kevin is out today. But, Jim, we're glad you're back. Did you have a good time? You have a good, nice summer vacation?
Had a great time. So good. Very relaxing. Hung out with the family. Back on the grind. It's all good.
Well, you missed a lot of action at the Olympics. I'm sure you've been watching some of it. But this Ryan Lochte story started off weird and has even got weirder and is continuing to develop and unfold. Even to this minute, new information is coming out. What's the latest, Jim? And how crazy is this that a guy can go there, swim for America, win a gold medal, and yet still come back an asshole?
Yeah. Oh.
Wow, Bean.
Bean, huh? Yeah. Nice. Anyway, what's popping, Twitter? Hey, listen, bottom line, this is so awesome. This story is so great, and we haven't gotten to the bottom of it, but I'll skip to the end. Of all the great moments in Olympic history, Jesse Owens in 36, Bob Beamon long jumping in 68, the miracle on ice, they made a movie about that. All those things together do not top Lochte in 2016. Here is the latest, my favorite moment ever. Now, the breaking story is they've got a gas station video where he and the swimmers broke down a restroom door. They were fighting with a security guard, so therefore, apparently, Lochte and the three swimmers made up that robbery story.
Oh, my.
Chia!
Chia!
guys, how many times have we gone over this? If this is true, the cover-up is always worse than the crime.
Yeah.
Always.
Snowballed.
Especially in the case when the crime really doesn't seem that bad, right? Breaking down a door at a gas station,
right.
That's a bad night, maybe even a really bad night, but not bad enough to flee the country, leave your wingmen behind to maybe rot in a jail and start an international incident. This story is awesome.
Jim, are we going to go to war over Ryan Lochte?
We sure as hell better not. That's not a reason to go. That's not a reason to fight. That's not a reason to go to war. But hey, did anybody really think that Lochte, of all people, had the mental horsepower? And again, if this is true, but did anybody think that Lochte had the mental horsepower to come up with a story good enough to shake everybody?
Of course not.
Right.
And by the way,
Lochte, of all people.
If you're going to concoct a story, if you're going to make it up with your bros, don't you at least get the story straight? Aren't you at least telling the same lie? Because that's where the crack started to come in, is when one guy would say this happened, another guy would say that happened. They couldn't even get that right.
I think that's really key. And the other thing is, if you're going to make up a story about getting robbed, just make up a story about getting robbed. I don't think you need to make up a story about getting robbed by fake cops who put a gun to your head.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, if they really did get into a brawl with a gas station attendant, you don't think that that's going to be on surveillance tape? You don't think the gas station attendant is going to tell the media or the cops that they got into a fight with a famous American swimmer? I mean, come on, Ryan, really?
But what a
really?
Dick. He hightails it out of there, and these two dudes are just sitting there taking all the heat.
They get literally pulled off the plane.
Guys, for 2 weeks, I'm gone, and Bean starts off with an A-bomb, and Allie just went with a D-bomb.
You're right.
What's going on? Y'all got real comfortable this summer.
I I hope you saw, Jim, the video of the Olympic swimming team coming back to the Olympic Village the next morning after they allegedly had just been robbed a couple of hours before. And they're laughing and having the time of their lives. And you actually, on video, see Lockheed take his wallet out of his pants and put it through the security. He didn't get robbed at all.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, let's not forget that first story when Lockheed was asked about that in an interview. He just said, hey, whatever. Whatever. I don't know about you guys, but if somebody put a gun to my head, my reaction would not be whatever. And I have seen that tape, and you're right. How do you explain these guys? If they got jacked at gunpoint and they got shaken down and robbed, why are they rolling to the village like they've got no concerns in the world? Mm-hmm. Why are three of those guys rolling in with watches on their wrists if they got robbed? And why did Lochte still have his wallet and his phone?
All right.
My man, the cover-up's worse than the crime.
What are the consequences for Ryan Lochte next? Is there anything anybody can or will do about him except for, obviously, not giving him an endorsement contract?
Hey, listen, I'm no attorney or legal authority. I don't know that they're going to extradite this guy, but I do know this. This guy's not that bright, but he was smart enough to get his ass out of there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He is home, maybe safe and sound, and to Ali's point, left his boys behind, left the wingers behind, and now they've got to deal with it. So I'm not exactly sure what the legal ramifications are, but it can't be good. It cannot be good.
Unbelievable story, and I know it will continue to unfold, and we'll be checking it out throughout the day at jimrome.com. Jim's going to be on the air at 9. All right, switch gears. You and I both had Dana White on our respective radio shows this week, and I made the comment to Dana, the president of the UFC, that, wow, whatever talking to you gave Conor McGregor really worked because he has been boring this season leading up to the fight. There's been no drama leading up to the Diaz fight at 202 this weekend, yet all of a sudden, what happens yesterday, Jim? The whole place explodes.
It was absolutely awesome. I'm not going to say he's boring. I just think the guy's locked in. I mean, this is a really important fight for Conor because Nate beat him last time out. Conor knows that back-to-back losses would not be a good thing. But then they go to a presser, and you guys have seen this. Normally when there's a fight or a fake fight, it feels contrived or manufactured. But for those who did not see it, it sounded like this.
Shut your mouth, you don't know. You don't know. Now what is you don't know? Get the out of here.
That's all right. Hey, Conor, don't throw those Conor.
Cuss more than Conor are Bean and Allie. Except they don't beep it on that show. So what these guys are doing is they literally got into a water bottle energy drink fight. They're lobbing these things at each other, throwing F-bombs at each other. Normally I would say that that's what they do to manufacture the hype, but they don't need that for this fight. Conor doesn't need that crap. And believe me, Nate, who's Stockton in 209 through and through, is not about that life. They hate each other, and it was awesome, and it was real.
I felt it was so contrived. It looked so fake in me. WWE.
Wrong answer,
Allie. No, it was so fake. So fake. Oh,
stop.
Conor saunters
Allie.
In 20 minutes late. Oh, shocking. Then I'm going to get real mad. I'm Diaz. I'm going to walk with my boys. Come on. So
Allie.
Phony.
Allie, yes, stop Jim. Cussing on the air and stop
cuss.
Lying to your listeners.
It's phony. Look at the video.
We agree to disagree. I like that you're mocking Nate and his crew, but I'm telling you, that guy's 209 through and through.
Oh,
and
I'm Team Nate Diaz on this.
You are Team Diaz?
Absolutely.
I'm team that was not contrived. I really do think. Now, Al, you're much smarter than me. You have much
sad,
more experience in these
statement.
Matters than I do. I usually agree with you, but not here. I think that was real.
Okay.
I do love Conor in an interview afterwards, by the way. He said he just sensed that the audience at the press conference looked a little dehydrated. He was trying to share some water with them, which is a great
it's
way
so
to
funny.
Handle it.
Look, if you were going to fake a presser, you could do a lot better than throwing water bottles at each other.
All right. Last point in our time with the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show, his Thursday visit, and that is you were a trending U.S. topic on Twitter yesterday. You made the news because of a Twitter beef with your old friend Jim Harbaugh, the coach at Michigan. What went down, Jim?
How do you like me now?
Right?
It's not really an actual Twitter beef, and don't forget it made the New York Post page 6. Nice. It wasn't really a Twitter beef. What we had was this. He had three guys missing from a team picture. Reporters had the audacity to ask him about it. He went with the bitter old man routine, and then he just bounced from the presser. Quickly, listen.
Good standing. Are they with the program and everything?
Two of those players are suspended.
Who are
they? You know, I know you like to ask a lot of questions, but we'll handle that internally.
How long is the suspension on those guys now?
That's why I don't give you any information, because you're never satisfied. You always want a second question, a third question, a fourth question.
All All right, so long story short, I cracked him on the air for doing that. Like, come on, these guys are just doing their job. Do yours, Jim. And then I wake up the next morning, the guys hit me with a subtweet. He called me a provocateur, and he included the famous link of me and Jim Everett, which is now 22 years old, which pretty much proves the point that he is thin-skinned. I tweeted back, roasted! Damn, you got me good. Like 42-13 good, which happens to be the beatdown that rival Ohio State laid on him in his house. 42-13 actually was the score. So no personal beef here. Look, that's he should answer the questions. Just do your job. That was not some
your comment,
hot take
your,
or pub grab.
Right. Your take was completely legitimate, which is it was a fair question asked by the media of somebody doing their job. It would have been irresponsible of them to not ask a follow-up question about the topic.
Can I say, I've said similar things about 20 other coaches, but those 20 other coaches are spending their time trying to figure out how to beat their rivals and not come up with the best way to subtweet some guy on the radio early in the morning. Do your job, Jim.
There's never been a college football season where you haven't had on the coach at Michigan at some point during the season, Jim. Is that going to happen this year? Are you guys going to patch it up together?
No, I don't think that's going to be fixed. I think it's so funny. You guys know this, that some of the beefs over time get fixed, and there's some people who love me who should hate me, and there's some people who hate me who should love me. I don't think that one's going to get fixed anytime. Now, I'm open to it. I'm just doing my job. I've got nothing personal against this guy. I'm not lying in wait trying to get this guy. That was just my reaction. But I got a sense he's not coming around anytime soon.
Jim, I feel like you will never again pay for a drink in Ohio.
Right, and nor should I.
That's right.
Why should I? Or even a steak dinner.
That's
9
true.
To noon again today. It's the great Jim Rome, jimrome.com to hear the show. Welcome back from vacation, sir. We'll do it again next week. Bye-bye.
Go Ducks.
Tuesday morning right here on the Kevin Bean Show, the band Empire of the Sun is going to be making their return visit, this time to premiere a brand new single. That's going to be fun. That'll be Tuesday. And then, of course, in less than 2 weeks, our Breakfast with Sting is happening in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. And he will also be world premiering a brand new song sung live right in front of you. That's going to be a great morning, Allie.
That's huge.
Got more tickets you can win coming up, so keep on listening. All right. Unusual ways you met your significant other. This is an almost hard to believe article.
It's insane. And I
Here's what happened. It happened sometime back. The couple, spoiler alert, they fall in love and get married and they're still together. But listen to the way they met. A young lady named Donna Roberts had apparently an ugly breakup. At least her ex wasn't a fan of Donna Roberts after they broke up. So he decided to write on a bathroom wall in Britain, if you want a good shag, call Donna on and put her phone number. Now, if you're Donna and that happens, as soon as those calls start coming in from that bathroom, you got to just change your number, I would think, right?
I'm wondering how many calls come in, though, because how many people are going to be like, let me try it? I don't think many.
Yeah,
we do know
right.
One.
You're probably right about that. Yeah, she does get a text from one guy, and it's a man named Mark Ellis who texts her and says, hi, what are you up to? I was curious to know if this was a real human being. Now, why would Donna, who I'm sure at that point said, who is this and how did you get my number? And then he says, well, I found it on a bathroom wall at a truck stop. How does she then continue to have a conversation with this guy? Because in her mind, you have to think she figures he's either trolling her or is expecting sex from her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that relationship even develop?
You know, I feel like Mark's really good at texting.
He must be. Because think about this. He sees her number on a bathroom stall. He texts her. Fast forward to today. They are still married and have two children together, age 8 and 9.
Unreal.
So this was 10 years ago this happened, and they're still together. Like, how does anyone meet anyone in that way?
It's incredible. But you know what? Here's the thing. If somebody texted me randomly and said, oh, I saw your number on a bathroom wall, I'd want to know, A, where's that bathroom wall? What are you I'd want to get to the bottom of it. So I would engage at that point.
Right.
But anything past that, maybe not.
Yeah, do you agree to meet with the dude?
Absolutely not. But Mark's got some texting skills, apparently.
Apparently he does.
Yeah.
After she was, of course, at first perplexed. She's a legal secretary, by the way. She found out how Ellis had found her number. Then they struck up a conversation. And a few days later, they met, then started dating, then fell in love, then married. And here we are two kids later. So the topic on the table today is, what unusual way did you meet your significant other? How did it come to pass? I mean, there's lots of lots of stories like this. I don't know that there's anything as strange as this one in terms of the likelihood that this is going to develop into a real life relationship. But maybe you've got a crazy way. Maybe you met, you know, you flirted on the freeway. You're
that
driving.
Christine
next
said
to
that. Christine what? Said she's going to a wedding of two people that were flirting back and forth in their cars, and then they kind of made the move over type of motion. They pulled off, met each other, and exchanged numbers, and now she's going to their wedding.
No way.
Yes. It's insane.
Okay.
That's crazy.
How did you meet your significant other? What was the crazy way that you wacky kids found love? That's what we're talking about right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. People can't believe it when you tell the story of how you met. We want to hear about it next on K-Rock. Thank you, Fitz. Thank you, Noel. Thanks to all the tantrums. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, talking about the strange way that you met your significant other. We just did a story out of England about a couple that met because her name was scrawled on a bathroom wall by an ex-boyfriend, and a guy texted her. They got to talking, then meeting, then dating, then marrying. They've been together 10 years, and they have two kids. I don't think that happens very often in that situation.
No.
So we're finding out from you at 1-800-520-1067. What's the crazy way that you two kids got together? Why don't we start with Tyler? Give me some Tyler in L.A., please. Chip, he is on line 4, and he's up first on the Kevin Mitchell. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What happened?
So basically, a few years ago, let's cut back to a few years ago, I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and we went to our friend's birthday party, and there was a photo booth. And at the photo booth was this gorgeous little girl, and we started all kind of taking pictures together, and I didn't really think anything of it. And, you know, I break up, or my girlfriend at the time, we break up. And years down the line, I meet this girl at a bar, we're hanging out, and I go to her house, and I see there's a picture of me on her fridge for at least, like, 2 years. And it was so bizarre. I was like, are you stalking me, or what's going on? But, no narcissist. But now we have a beautiful 7-month-old boy named Nova. And we've been together for about 2 years. It was super, super random, but
okay.
Yeah,
let me make sure I understand this correctly. You named your son Nova?
Oh, that's not
yes,
the point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You just love Chevys?
Sorry?
You just love Chevys?
Love Chevys. Love Chevys in the stars.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is interesting that you go to this girl's house for the first time ever, and she's got a photo of you. I mean, it does seem like there's a little bit of fate going on there. It sounds like.
Yes, it was funny. I had to call my mom. I'm like, Mom, is this a good thing or a bad thing? There's a picture of me on her fridge. What do I do?
I like it. All right, Tyler. Thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Nick. He's in Los Angeles. If his story is true, he's going to be the envy of many, many listeners right now who have always wanted to grow up and do this. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Hi, how's it going? So I know my friends are listening and probably some other people listening. The story is out there. Everyone knows. But it was 2005. I was an 18-year-old senior in high school on my way out. And I started making friends with a brand new first-year 24-year-old teacher. Needless to say, we started dating. And we've been married 8 years. We've been together about 11 years. We have three kids together.
Was she ever your teacher?
She was not my teacher. She was a teacher. However, I was an athlete, and she helped out with the team, and I'm not going to be real specific on that. But, you know, we started working out together, and you know, one thing led to another.
Did you start dating her in high school?
I'm sorry?
You were dating her while you were still in high school?
Yes, it was probably a couple months before graduation. I was on my
way out. Oh, dear.
But he was 18, and, Allie. He was 18.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so here's the other trippy part.
There's more?
No, well, ironically, I've been a police officer for 8 years now. So I know at the time no laws were broken. Maybe some school policy, but no laws
were
broken.
Some huge ethical issues. Other than
right.
that.
But, look, you know, I think about this, I won't say often, but it does cross my mind.
Oh, no.
No, that a teacher can come into a high school and be, as in this case, not that much older than the kid that she is teaching. And I'm not surprised when there is attraction. It's just very rare that it ends up in marriage.
The thing with me, though, I've always looked really older than what I am. So uh-huh. I've always hung out with older people. So I guess there was that attraction.
All right, but, last question for you, Nick. What did you think about that dude who named his kid Nova?
Well, I personally like Ford, so.
Okay, all right, so not for you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right,
his wife's name is Festiva.
You're going to love this, Allie.
Yeah.
Ivan in Huntington Beach. Think about this as you reflect on all the years you worked in morning news television. Mm-hmm. Ivan, welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, how's it going? So I'm living in New Mexico at the time. And long story short, a disgruntled neighbor tried to break into my house with a knife. I ended up shooting him.
And then so, he recovered and you two got married when it was legal?
I don't think that's where he's going.
No. Okay, no, all right, no, go no. on.
So 2 days later, this super beautiful news reporter shows up at my house to do a news story on it. She's really cute and smart, and we ended up being liking each other, and we're dating for 8 months now, and we both moved back to California together.
How nice. About that? So she goes out to cover a guy in the news who shot a dude, and you guys ended up dating. How about that?
Yeah, she asked for an interview. I asked for a date, and I didn't give her the interview, but I got a date out of it.
Well done, Ivan.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Allie, did you ever date anyone that
I
you
did.
Met while covering a story?
Yeah, I did. I dated someone for 2 years. They were doing a firefighter auction, and we met at something I was covering for the auction and dated him for 2 years.
Well, no one can blame you in that case. I mean, come on, firefighter auction. Let's try Will in Los Angeles. He's line five. Now, this is going to be interesting. This is going to give hope to people who spend time crafting that opening line when you meet that significant other, that person you hope to date. Let's find out how it worked out for Will. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing? This is me, Will. I was calling because I met my ex-wife on a Saturday night after drinking very, very heavily, smoking a lot of weed. And we go to the club, me and my guy, as we normally do, and roll in, and we're partying, and all of a sudden, the music stops, the spotlight comes down, and there's this girl on the dance floor standing in front of me, beautiful. And I just start walking towards her. As I get close up to her, I look her straight in her eyes. She's looking me straight in my eyes. I say, hey, I'm going to marry you, and you're going to have my baby. And her reply to me was, I'll have your baby. And we started making out on the dance floor. And now we have two kids, and I'm divorced. So it doesn't always work out the best.
That story
that
had a great ending.
That was an emotional roller coaster.
It really was. So I have to ask, Will, was that a line that you just used all the time with girls and it just happened to work out that time? Or was there something significant and special about that night, that girl?
Absolutely not. I've never used that line before. At that particular point, I had millions of lines because it was a club thing, which is what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what it was about that woman and what it was about her specifically, but it was like a movie. Like, literally, there was a spotlight that came down, the crowd parted. Like, it was literally a movie.
Not literally.
Well, with a very unhappy ending.
With a very unhappy ending, right. Boy,
well,
the first...
No, it wasn't a super unhappy ending because I do have two great kids who
sure.
I love tremendously out of it. But, yeah, her and I are not friends. As
I got you.
I mean,
that's all right.
I wouldn't want to see her hit by a bus because she's my kid's mom. But
okay, it just got weird.
All right, well.
It just got weird. All right, we were with you right up until that. All right, thank you for the call. So the moral of the story is what? I guess keep your eyes open. You never know. You can meet people anywhere, I guess, these days. All right, thanks, guys.
So you say it's not a shakeup, but you guys are down. And it makes
Says
sense
who?
That there would...
Says
polls,
who?
Most of them. All of them?
Says who?
Polls. I just told you. I answered your question.
Okay. Which polls?
All of them.
Okay.
Maybe he thinks Polish people are saying that, and that's why he doesn't care.
Confusion.
Because it's an American election,
yeah,
so who cares what the polls say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I saw that clip on CNN, all I could think is this is what it's like to try to argue logically with a five-year-old that it's time for her to go to bed. It's just like they just throw up anything they can think of.
The willful ignorance, the purposeful obtuseness in interview situations always infuriates me. Mm-hmm. When someone pretends they don't understand what you're saying or just disregards the facts in a situation and just blatantly goes up against them in order to position a point. It's just, why even bother interviewing those people? Because if that's what you're going to get.
Right? I mean, I guess if you're CNN and you have somebody who is speaking on behalf of the Republican nominee for president, I guess you take them. You feel like they're a legitimate person, legitimate
what if
source.
You're the Republican spokesperson and everyone knows what the polls are saying? And I mean, it's been everywhere and you know what the polls are saying. So why pretend?
Well, I don't know. It was
why go that route? Why say, yes, right now we're struggling, but we have plans that they're going to change things and wait till next week or whatever. I mean, just try to pretend at least like you're going to address.
You're saying he could
situation.
Have handled it better.
Maybe.
Says who?
That's true. Good
exactly.
point.
He's got all right, there. We'll talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up right after the top of the hour with our weekly visit. First, so 8:55. Ralph is here. Another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Lollapalooza.
It's just behind us for another year, right?
Next month, it's happening.
I thought it happened earlier this month already in Chicago.
Yeah, and Malia Obama, all those pictures of her on stage dancing.
Yeah, but the anniversary.
Oh, okay, all right.
Of Lollapalooza. How many years do you think Lollapalooza has been going on?
Oh, at least 20.
I was going to say 25?
The 25th anniversary of Lollapalooza is happening next month with a special concert at Irvine Meadows Amphitheater.
Ooh, fun.
That's where I saw the first one.
Yeah, that is where the first one was held. 1991, summer of 1991, Jane's Addiction will celebrate the 25th anniversary of Lollapalooza next month. Of course, Perry Farrell founded the festival back in the day. So it's an important memory for all that band, and they're enjoying the 25th anniversary at the place where it happened, as Ellie mentioned, Irvine Meadows. Quite a concert they put together to celebrate the anniversary, by the way. Jane's will be playing Garbage, The Cult, Violent
nice.
Femmes, and House of Pain.
Oh, my God.
We'll also be performing. So that's a show.
I'm
right
in.
There, right? That's what I'm saying.
My friend and I followed a tour bus after the show.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Turned out to be Iced Teas. It was not Jane's Addiction. So that was weird.
Why are you ringing? I want to hear about Allie being a bitch. Rock and roll hoe bag.
That's fine.
What would you have done if you had caught the bus?
I thought it was Jane's Addiction, and
what
I wanted to hang out.
What would you have done if you had caught the bus?
We wanted to hang out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. By hang out, you mean? Right. That's what I'm saying. Everybody knows. Told you yesterday, Lady Gaga is hitting the big screen in a remake of A Star is Born with Bradley Cooper, who will also be directing. But Gaga also has some new music on the horizon. LadyGaga.com says a single called Perfect Illusion will be out next month and will also be on her fifth studio album. Mark Ronson co-produced the track.
Oh, he's great.
Along with Kevin Parker. Familiar with this guy? He's a producer.
Yeah, he's Tame Impala.
Yeah, from the band Tame Impala, exactly. So that's new music. And I'm very excited about this as well. Tove Lo.
Oh, I love her so much.
Whereas she's known in her native country, Tuvalu.
Yeah, we learned that when she visited, didn't we?
We did, yes. Because Dave Sanchez kept insisting that's how you pronounce her name. We're like, you're the worst pronouncer of everything always. Why should we take you at face value for this? No, it's true. Her name is Tuvalu. It's like, are you sure you're just not dumb and you're pronouncing it wrong? Because you are the guy who told us that CCH Pounder's name was Chich Pounder.
He did say that. That is accurate.
He was pitching a CCH Pounder once on the Kevin and Bean show and said, well, would you like to interview Chich Pounder? And we're like, who? You know, Chich Pounder. So when he comes to you and he says, no, her name is Tuvalu.
Nope.
You're immediately dismissing him.
Mm-hmm. Plus, Dave has so many problems with vowels anyway that we can't trust him for the simplest name.
I still
name.
Think and my name is Ellie.
Loaded with vowels. Right, he calls you Ellie. Remember he was talking about Tom Morello yesterday?
Yeah, right, sure.
Who's Tom Morello? So we couldn't believe him when he said Tuvalu.
Right.
So we had Tove Lo in on the show. She performed live. You guys were interviewing her. And they said, how do you say your name back in your home country? And she said, Tuvalu. And that, well, Dave was insufferable for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, we never heard the end of that. Right.
Oh, who's right? I'm red. That's right. Anyway, she's got a second album on the way. It has a title and a release date now. It's called Lady Wood, right? Yeah. And you'll be able to grab Lady Wood on October 28th Album will include her latest single, Cool Girl. So, new music.
Great
on the way.
Song. She's so talented.
She's
very
talented. She's like 12, right?
Yeah, she's young.
It's infuriating.
Pretty little face.
She does have a pretty little face, Rodney. You're right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Redford. Is there a bigger movie star with like a longer career? Has anyone been a movie star longer that's still alive than Robert Redford working in the business today?
Maybe. Eastwood.
Yeah, I guess Eastwood. He's right around there.
Yeah, they're definitely contemporaries, though.
Newman's gone. I mean, a lot of those guys from that era are gone now. But Redford, he's the
and
man.
That and for the kids, that 1-2 punch of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and The Sting is some of the greatest acting and some of the best movies you'll ever see. And Redford is phenomenal.
Two of the best films. Yeah. And then, you know, All the President's Men. I mean, you can go on and on and on with the great Robert Redford performances. But I met the man once, and it was one of the few times where I was literally sort of stunned into silence. I couldn't bring myself to say anything.
I would be
not even
way.
Like, oh, I didn't know what to say, or I flubbed, or I made a fool of myself. No sounds would come out. I just stood there.
Did you just squeak?
No.
That would be incredible.
Didn't make any dolphin noises. That would have been even creepier, I think. I just shut my mouth and just stared at him.
I read his authorized biography that came out a couple of years ago. It was the first major book that was written on Robert Redford, and he cooperated with it. And it's a fascinating read, Ralph, and you would love it as a lifelong fan of his. He had such an uneasy relationship with fame.
Yes,
and with
it.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
He was all about the acting and still is. He wants to be an actor. He doesn't care a whit about anything that goes around with, and that really caused him some real struggles and some heartaches in his life as a result of and God, you know, God bless him for looking like that. You know what I mean? He had to live with that.
It's easy not to care about how you look when you look like that. That's what I always say. It's us ugly people who say, "Oh, it's brutal. I want to be better looking." If you're already good looking, of course you don't care about, "Oh, I don't care about my looks. It's not about that for you." No, of course not. Look at you. Stupid Redford. That's what I should have said to him.
Yeah.
Dennis Leary's 59. Madeline Stowe's 58. Edward Norton turns 47 years old. Christian Slater also 47. Malcolm Jamal Warner. Of course, Theo from The Cosby Show back in the day. Most recently seen in The People versus O.J. Simpson. He is 46 years old. Caitlin Olson from Always Sunny in Philadelphia is 41. And Andy Samberg. Lonely Island. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Saturday Night Live, of course. Very talented guy. 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That band right there, Empire of the Sun, is going to be in studio with us Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, premiering their brand new song. That's going to be fun. And then don't forget, 2 weeks from yesterday is our Breakfast with Sting, and you can still win your way into that. You can't buy tickets for that, but you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show to join us as we have a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer live in person, interview and performance, including the world premiere of his brand new song sung right from the man's lips himself. That's a cool way to hear a song for the first time is live in person in the same room as the dude who sings it.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Dr. Drew Pinsky has been all over the news this week. Allie, have you seen it?
I have. He's everywhere. You can't shake a stick without hitting Drew.
Dr. Drew,
said it for years.
I found out, is America's most trusted physician. That is how he is being referred to.
I read that on InfoWars.
Dr. Drew, how do you feel about being America's most trusted physician?
I don't know where that came from, and the whole thing is bizarre, and I'm troubled by it.
Now, look, I know you can't go deep into it. I know that the man is trying to put a muzzle on you. But basically, just as a takeaway, and then we'll move on to something else, Hillary Clinton probably will not live to see Election Day. That's your professional opinion?
The KBC, where Mike and I have a radio show, asked me to do a couple of videos where I talked about the health of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And I talked about how Trump, not insane, but maybe a little hypomanic, and that's interesting. And I don't know if it's an asset or a liability. And then I talked about how I was concerned about Hillary's health care. And by the way, I'm no horse in the race yet. I haven't made my decision. But it's a high probability I'm a Hillary supporter, which makes me even more concerned about the health care she's getting. And I just described why I was concerned. And I'd actually done it I'd reviewed it with Dr. Rob Heisinger just the day before, where he came to the exact same conclusion I did. And I thought, yeah, this is a very high-quality physician who's, we shared the exact same concerns. And I asked them, please not to put that video up until I thought about it. And they put it up.
So, okay. You know. And then, of course,
then it became me telling, bashing Hillary or saying that she was not fit or going to die, which was not, could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, you just, as a guy who doesn't have access to all the information, what little you've seen just raises questions for you about...
She released her medical records. She's actually been very transparent. Trump has not been. She released her medical records, and I just interpreted the records that she released, which she were very complete. She's given her records publicly.
I watched the video, Drew. All you were saying was you're concerned about the level of care she's getting.
The care seems a little bizarre and old-fashioned, and please explain. And that's concerning, you know, for somebody who's got some really serious conditions that should be easily manageable.
Sure. Okay.
And that's all I was saying. And I'm concerned for her, both as a human being and as my potential, you know, the person I may be casting my vote for. That's all. That's it.
Okay.
And it became this big, crazy, crazy thing. And by the way, in the meantime, the journalists are out there jawing about her health, and they have no idea what they're talking about. So a physician can't ring in and go, here are my concerns? Come on now. Anyway.
All I know is once you've got Alex Jones on your side, you know you're doing something right, Doc.
God.
All right. Let's switch topics. You sent an article out this week to us that was fascinating, and I think this is going to make a lot of people, especially Beer Mung, happy. And the headline is, overweight people live longer. Now, doesn't this fly in the face of everything we've been told since the first time we put on a little weight and were told we were overweight and it was bad for us? Now science is going the other way and saying it's okay to be fat?
Well, this has been around for some time. And to be fair, Bean, I sent it to Dave, the King of Mexico, to make him feel better. Actually, I sent it to his girlfriend to stop giving him crap. But this has been around for a long time. I've mentioned before, I think, on this show. And, of course, I got roundly attacked on Twitter by people saying I was out of my mind. But it has, of course, been well-known and well-documented in the medical literature. It's called the obesity paradox, which is a finding, and they just published some new data in the Journal of the American Medical Association, that adults with a body mass index in the sort of mildly obese range between 25 and 30 have a reduced risk of all death causes. They are likely to live longer. It's the obesity paradox. Not saying that being overweight is a good thing. Not saying if you have metabolic syndrome, which is, you know, again, this brings out the sort of the weaknesses of the body mass index measure. Generally, it's a weak measure because some people put their fat in certain areas that have much more profound metabolic impact, like people with metabolic syndrome, and they really have to watch their weight because they get diabetes and high blood pressure and high cholesterol. But just generally taken, all comers with higher BMI, it's not necessarily a bad thing at all.
Okay, but I know the reason you call it a paradox is because it flies in the face of the wisdom we thought we understood, which is that if you're a few pounds overweight, you have higher cholesterol, you have higher blood pressure, you're more susceptible to diabetes. There are a lot of bad things that come from being overweight. So I guess I'm still not understanding. It's not true?
That's not necessarily true. In other words, it does not mean because your BMI is up, you necessarily have metabolic syndrome. In other words, it's the people that have BMI up, and the BMI is up because the body weight is distributed about in the middle that get that problem. In fact, many of the very obese patients I take care of have normal low cholesterol and low blood pressure and don't have diabetes. So there's differing sort of distributions and manifestations of weight excess that have differing medical impacts, which is why the BMI index or the BMI is such an inaccurate measure. And again, the obesity paradox, so-called, is just another piece of evidence of that.
Okay, so in other words, there's no one BMI size that fits all. You can look at that number, and that doesn't necessarily tell you what's going on with that person until you see the body.
I think the most sort of obvious example of that, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger in the peak of his competitive career would have been obese by the BMI.
Right, gotcha.
You know, and so the BMI is it's a guideline, it's something to keep an eye on and then have specifically assessed to your particular needs. And a very high BMI is clearly not a good thing, clearly not good, and associated with all kinds of other problems, even in addition to the things we think of like diabetes and cholesterol and high blood pressure. There can be mobility issues, skin breakdown, all kinds of wonderful stuff.
You know what I like about this, Dr. Drew? I'm glad you actually sent this article to us, is it's important to keep things in context because you can look at this and we could just as easily be talking about people who judge their overall health just based on the number on the scale. Like a woman who's 140 might think, oh my God, I'd rather be 120, when in fact 140 may be the perfect weight for her.
That's right. Everything has to be judged in the overall context of that given individual's biology, medical history, family history, genetic history, That all has to be interpreted by an objective observer. That's why things like physical exams are so useful.
Dr. Drew is on HLN Monday through Thursday afternoons at 4 p.m. Of course, he does the show with Mike Catherwood Monday through Friday from noon to 3 on KABC. He also has a live show coming up with Mike. This is a lot of fun when you guys get together to do this at the Pasadena Ice House. It's going to be on Thursday, September 8th.
It's very important. I really want the K-Rock listeners to turn out because there's been a lot of people telling us how much they miss Loveline, so we're going to go do it live. We want this one to be really interactive. So bring your questions to the ice house.
Are people willing in these live scenarios with you and Mike, you know, doing the pretend love light? Are they willing to stand up and say to you in person the things that they would say on the phone when they used to call the old show?
The pretend love light. You know what? The extraordinary thing, and I've noticed this going around the country and speaking at colleges and whatnot, is the smaller the group, the less likely they are to So we need a pretty good turnout. And then people somehow, when you get over a few hundred, people start to get very comfortable and standing up. And it's so, again, another paradox, but there it is.
All right. Pasadena Ice House. If you want to buy tickets to see Dr. Drew and Mike live on stage, it's going to be Thursday, September 8th. You can buy tickets now at drdrew.com and also find all of Drew's podcasts there as well. Hey, thanks for coming on and clarifying everything, Doc. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Munchin.
I'm about to get in line. Head back to my pad. What can I say? Got that rent-a-car.
Oh.
Took advantage of that rent-a-car. We went out to Salvation Mountain, and we went out to Salt Lake Sea. We went to the Banana Museum, Palm Springs.
The Banana Museum.
Those miles and those rent-a-cars. You can do anything with that air conditioning. Anyway, I got more music and things to play coming up right after the Monkees. Yeah. Here they are.
Okay.
Ronnie's sure excited about that air conditioning in that car.
The Saltic Sea
and the Banana Museum, right? But he's going back to his pad.
He's getting in line, he said.
What is he
getting
in line
to his
for?
Pad. Is there a line to get into his own home?
Do you think is going on there? What happens here on Sunday nights on K-Rock? What happens?
I got to start listening.
I do, too. 9:38, it's Thursday morning. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's new?
Early in the show, we talked about the scandal with one of the Inside Amy Schumer writers, Kurt Metzger, who sent out some disturbing tweets in which he mocked and ridiculed women who reported sexual assault. And that caused people to address Amy Schumer and ask why he was a writer on her show, if he was capable of expressing such thoughts. And she responded by saying that he is a friend of hers, but his words are his, not hers. And he's not a writer on her show anymore. She said he's not a writer on the show because we aren't making the show anymore. There are no writers for it. So a lot of people said, does that mean that Inside Amy Schumer is going away? And so now she's had to come back and correct those misinterpretations of her tweets by saying because she's touring so much, because she's so busy, the show is on indefinite hiatus, and that's why there are no writers for the show, because they're not currently in production.
Okay.
Now, whether he will be brought back when the show, if and when the show is brought back, that remains to be seen, but now we know more or less what's going on.
Do not tweet her and ask about it, though.
She will block you?
She has that's been in all the write-ups. She's blocking women that are like, hey, then what's going on with this writer guy? Are you keeping him on? And she just blocks.
Well,
heavy on the block finger.
It's her Twitter feed. She can block whoever she wants.
Yeah. I just feel like you can't be the face of feminism if that's what you've promoted yourself as, and now you're blocking people just curious about it.
Yeah.
It's a bit much.
You should tell her, Ellie.
Oh, people have, and they've blocked her.
I'm all for blocking. I love the block. Ugh. I love the block, but I've been using more the mute these days.
Mute is so much better.
Mute is more satisfying because the people don't realize that you're ignoring them.
And they're yelling into the void.
So you don't give them the satisfaction of having blocked them and let them know that you bugged them enough to block. You just mute them, and then they're like, another thing, you're stupid. And you can't hear them because they're muted. So you just see this. You just see their mouths moving, but you don't hear what they're saying. Of course, you couldn't see that because this is radio. So that was a poor choice on my part.
Respond to any of my tweets. I guess now I know.
I'm sorry. I have you muted on the radio show now.
I thought so.
I can't hear you.
I tweet nice things about you, by the way.
No, you don't.
I do.
That's a lie.
Okay.
Someone, by the way, tweeted me this morning, asked me, who runs the bell? Who's in charge of the bell when you ring the bell for the lovely women at the on the birthday list?
What was their complaint about the bell today?
They just wanted to have a mental picture of what happens during the Showbiz Beat. And so I had to regretfully inform her that Bean is in control of the bell.
And doing a damn fine job, by the way.
And often to our great frustration, he's the one who rings the bell for, you know, Betty White and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and you name it. He's well, why are you, weird it, choices.
Why are you intentionally naming the hottest women in the world when you try to mock me?
See, this is what I'm saying. Speaking of hot women, Katy Perry's in the news. She and Orlando Bloom seem to be very serious. I know you saw that picture of them in the surf where he was sort of grabbing her boobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked like he was getting ready to motorboat.
He was enjoying those. People magazine reporting that they're looking to settle down. He'd like to have more kids, Orlando Bloom would. But perhaps Katy Perry's the one dragging her feet. She may not be in a rush to tie the knot again after what was considered not a great marriage to Russell Brand. Mm-hmm. They had some issues. But word is they're very serious about each other and they're enjoying their lesbian relationship. See, because Orlando Bloom, he's so slim and flimsy.
It's not my kind of humor.
Yeah, I apologize. Ah, sad news. Great director, great movie director named Arthur Hiller has passed away. Passed away at the age of 92, Hiller was not only a director, but also the former president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences from 1993 to 1997. You may remember him from making incredibly boring speeches during the Oscars. That's usually what the president of the Academy does. His major claim to fame as a movie director, although he directed many films, was probably Love Story, a classic romantic film starring Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal. It was sort of the quintessential romantic motion picture of its day back in the 70s. So that's the movie that's got the famous quote, "Love means never having to say you're sorry," which I try to use on my wife from time to time, and it just does not pass muster.
No.
It's kind of a dumb quote when you think about it.
It really is.
Yes. Because when you love someone, the first thing you should do is say you're sorry if you hurt them, right?
Right. Right. It's bad advice.
Yes. And Taylor Swift. You make it so hard to talk about her, Bean, because of that noise. She likes to treat her men right. Tom Hiddleston apparently needed to get to her place last Sunday to spend some quality time with her parents. But he was busy working. He was working in Burbank, California. So, next thing you know, the private jet shows up. Pick up Tom Hiddleston and take him to Rhode Island so they could all have a lovely time together.
I mean, I guess that's the perk of being that rich, yeah, is transportation issues do not present themselves.
Right. And if you're Tom Hiddleston, I guess that's a perk of dating a Satanist. I mean, sure, you do have to slaughter the goats on the altar and you have to pray to Beelzebub, but you do get the private jet, so.
And you get to live forever,
it's
I
a
guess,
trade-off, you do, right? You get to drink the blood of virgins and, you know, do those solstice events. They're apparently very popular.
Allie, where are you in your thinking now? You had a lot of thinky thoughts on the validity of this relationship, how real it was at the time.
Oh, we wondered I forgot. If it Conspiracy yeah. Girl thought it we, was a big
performance art. Yeah.
This is the long con?
The
you think
long
this is?
Con.
Like it's going to be a video or something of her for a future song? Or mm-hmm. Where are you now on that?
Still don't care, okay. But I still don't believe it's real.
Still don't think it's real?
Nah.
So why would he get on a private plane on a Sunday in Los Angeles and fly to Rhode Island to hang out with Taylor Swift in her house for no reason then?
It's a really nice house.
Plus, have you ever been to Rhode Island on a Sunday?
Oh,
that state goes
delightful.
Off.
It is delightful.
That is party central there
it's
in the
science.
Oh, give me RI on a Sunday. That's what I've always said.
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
Right. Ask her. She knows. Today's celebrity birthdays, one of the greats, a legend, Robert Redford, turns 80 years old today.
Says who?
His birth certificate?
Well, we all know that birth certificates are for chumps these days.
Dennis Leary's 59, Madeline Stowe turns 58, Edward Norton turns 47 years old today, as does Christian Slater. Malcolm Jamal Warner turns 46 years old, Caitlin Olson, one of the stars of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, is 41. And Andy Samberg, one of our favorites around here, he is 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness once again this afternoon. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5. Tomorrow on the show, it is Friday. That means the movie bee. What is – I haven't heard much buzz. Not a lot of commercials jumping out of my TV about this weekend. Is there anything –
War Dogs!
What?
War Dogs!
Oh, War Dogs.
I cannot wait to see War Dogs. It is guy who directed the Hangover trilogy.
Oh, okay.
And all the reviews are saying that this is – his big breakthrough, like, great film for grown-ups. If Hangover was a little silly and sophomoric for you, they're saying this is smart and funny and cutting and political satire, but also great goings-on. So I can't wait to check that
when
out.
When I saw the movie was called Warthogs, I thought it's got to be an animated kids
war
film or something, like a talking
dogs.
Warthog or something.
War.
You're telling me it's
dogs.
Warthogs that go to war?
War? Dogs.
Also, brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup on the show tomorrow. We are continuing to give away tickets for our Breakfast with Sting. It's the only place you can get them. You cannot buy these tickets. You cannot win these tickets except on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we will have them for you tomorrow as we do a Friday together right here on K-Rock.